Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. United Auto Workers leaders met talk strategy in Detroit today. At Union Locals, there were rallies, dealers. In Fort Wayne, Indiana, Tom Kelly is president of the Kelly Automotive Group.
It's a huge deal to us that Congress passed legislation and helped the automakers. We have a lot of people that depend on us for their livelihoods and have for many years, and we're here to show them that we're going to get something done, hopefully.
He says even charities who get donations from dealerships like his showed up at the rally in support of a bailout. In Detroit, UAW Chief Ron Gettelfinger.
Oversight, bring it on. U.S. government gets equity in the companies, you got it. No dividends, there it is. I mean, so I think this is a big difference than Company A out here raising their hand and saying, I need help.
The CEOs of all three big car companies are saying, we need help. But as of now, the Associated Press is quoting a Senate leader saying there are not yet enough votes to take financial bailout money, at least, to help the car companies. Pennsylvania Congressman Paul Kanjorski.
Highest paid executive in the Japanese industry, I understand, is around $3 million a year. And here the CEOs are getting $20 million a year. These companies are failing. The Japanese companies are succeeding. Duh.
The Japanese companies are also heavily subsidized by their government, which helps cover major expenses like health care and retirement benefits for workers at Toyota, Nissan, and Honda. The American car companies say they're not looking for ongoing subsidies, just a bridge to the next generation. The Treasury Department may push to lower 30-year fixed-rate mortgages to a 4.5% level. That's about a point lower than it is right now.
Much like the Federal Reserve announcement a week ago that drove mortgage rates down very sharply, any plan by the Treasury that would also drive mortgage rates down would help anybody who's buying a home or planning to do so, anyone trying to sell a home.
Greg McBride at Bankrate.com. It's one of a number of plans being proposed by financial industry lobbyists. Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss keeps his job dispatching Democrat Jim Martin with 57% of the vote in that runoff election.
We wanted to make sure that people understood we need those 41 votes to ensure that the next administration does not grow the government, because we don't think that's what people want.
In New York, bells tolled for terror victims of Mumbai, and in Mumbai, a bag full of explosives has been found.
These explosives were found in the main railroad station of Mumbai. It goes to show that the security agencies are not on top of things. People are nervous. I mean, they feel that the security agencies are just not up to the task.
CBS's Ranjan Gupta. When the new year arrives in Mobile, Alabama, the party will be all about one of the South's favorite snack desserts, the moon pie. They'll not only have the largest moon pie in the world there, instead of a ball dropping, a big electric moon pie will drop instead in Mobile. This is CBS News.
Hi, this is Sally Field. I always thought calcium and vitamin D and exercise would keep my bones healthy, but I got osteoporosis anyway, so my doctor started me on once monthly Boniva, and he told me something important. Boniva works with your body to help stop and reverse bone loss.
Boniva ibandronate sodium is a prescription tablet for postmenopausal osteoporosis. See our ad in Cooking Light. Don't take Boniva if you have low blood calcium, severe kidney disease, or can't sit or stand for at least 1 hour. Follow dosing instructions carefully. Stop taking Boniva and tell your doctor if you have difficult or painful swallowing, chest pain, or severe or continuing heartburn, as these may be signs of serious upper digestive problems. If jaw problems or severe bone, joint, and/or muscle pain develop, tell your doctor.
I've got this one body and this one life, so I'm doing my best to build strong, healthy bones. Ask your doctor if Boniva is right for you.
Boniva, help stop and reverse bone loss. For a free trial offer, call 1-800-4-BONIVA or visit boniva.com.
There are charges now against a third person in the case of a teenage boy in Tracy, California, who finally and literally escaped his chains.
The boy's aunt is expected to face the same charges as the Tracy, California couple who housed the teen: kidnapping, torture, false imprisonment, and assault. City spokesman Matt Robinson says the boy scaled a wall en route to freedom on Monday.
We just know that he was able to get up and over the wall and make it over onto the InShape property.
InShape, a local health club where the emaciated, bloody teen with a chain on his ankle sought help. Authorities say it appears the runaway had been abused for years. Tim Ryan, CBS News, Tracy, California.
In Indian Town, Florida, police have jailed a man who expressed his dissatisfaction with his girlfriend's Thanksgiving dinner by smacking her in the face with the pumpkin pie just out of the oven. She got burns and blisters on her face and neck. He faces assault charges. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Truck on the right, no signs in sight. Which lane to take? Can't make mistake. Which way to go? Too many roads. Exit almost missed. Need lane assist. Get a Nuvee. Change lanes with ease. With lane assist, exits you won't miss. Nuvee knows the road, knows where to go. Navigation tool, even saves you fuel.
Give a Garmin.
Give a Garmin.
Nuvee keeps you sane, ends driving pains. Garmin.com, Garmin.com.
Give a Garmin Nuvee with lane assist.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Let the experts at Jared show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The Peter B. Collins Show, rocking New England now on the mighty AM 1510 in Boston. We got a great show lined up for you. I hope you'll stay tuned for the entire 3 hours, but we'll excuse you if you can't. We understand. And if you're feeling a little queasy, uneasy today, it may not be vertigo. In my case, it's trying to digest the results of the Senate runoff in Georgia and the prospect of another 6 years of Saxby Chambliss in the U.S. Senate. Gag me! Oh, he did. On our program today, we'll take a look at the performance of the corporate media with Paul Waldman from Media Matters. Just a moment, he'll join us. And on the show today, we're going to discuss two very important natural resources, commodities that are privatized, corporatized, and exploited as they are delivered to you. Water and oil. Later this hour, Jeff Conant will join us from foodandwaterwatch.org. They are protesting at a conference in San Francisco this week where the heavyweights from the private water industry, Coca-Cola, Nestle, and others, paid $1,900 to attend a seminar, and Food and Water Watch came to greet them. We'll talk about some of the ideas being kicked around and who has the rights to spring water, whether it's at Poland Springs in Maine or the Calistoga Spa here in California, or other points in between. Also on today's show, talking about oil, Antonia Yuhas in our second hour. She's a brilliant woman who's published a new book called The Tyranny of Oil. It explains a lot of things in terms that even I can understand, like how the price of oil gets to the way it is. We'll also talk about the role of Phil and Wendy Graham in our energy industries these days and how to break up the big oil companies. And along the way, too, Dar Jamail will join us. He's an independent journalist who's covered Iraq, been there many times. We're going to get his views on the departure plans of the new Obama foreign policy team, departure from Iraq, and the extent to which the deadline set by the Iraqis themselves may propel that. That's all ahead. Plus, in the third hour, your phone calls in the free speech zone. But you don't have to wait till then to call. At any moment, you can dial into the program and talk with us toll-free, 888-5. Peter B. is the toll-free number. That's 388-573-8372. And my personal email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Paul Waldman's a senior fellow and an all-around good guy who's over at MediaMatters.org, and that's a powerful website that, well, tries to serve as kind of a truth squad for the corporate media. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Peter.
And say hello to Boston.
Hello, Boston.
We're really thrilled to have a powerful new affiliate in New England, and we can now claim coast to coast. There are a few spots in between that we haven't reached yet, but hey, it's just marketing. Paul, I wanted to start off with one of the lead stories at Media Matters today, and I actually saw this train wreck on Hardball the other night, thanks to a tip from my friend Gary in Sacramento. And they had Christopher Hitchens, who did appear to be sober, I'll say that for him, and he was on with Joan Walsh from Salon.com. And Hitchens started tangling with Chris Matthews almost from the beginning and then unloaded on Bill and Hillary Clinton with some unsubstantiated claims that are pretty ancient to begin with. But the question I want to pose is, why does a guy like Chris Matthews invite Christopher Hitchens on his program when it's pretty predictable what Hitchens will do? And it kind of falls into the same category as Ann Coulter, although she's got better legs, and she's blonde and a little more attractive than Chris Hitchens. These people do get invited onto shows, even though it's known how they will kind of unravel, well, because it's a train wreck that people will watch. Is that it?
I think that's part of it. When it comes to Hitchens, yes, he's as predictable as Ann Coulter when the topic is the Clintons. He's more liberal on some issues, but his hatred for them seems to know no bounds. And you're right that on this appearance he was not actually holding a glass of whiskey, as is sometimes the case when he goes on television.
Yeah,
I'll give him credit for being upfront about it.
You can see him clutching that coffee cup sometimes.
he is, I think, seen as a character. And even if his views on certain subjects are going to be absolutely predictable, one of the things I know is that if they bring up the Clintons, he'll, in his particularly eloquent way, send out a level of vitriol you won't find from too many people. It was very interesting seeing his interactions with Joan Walsh. He was kind of dismissively and contemptuously, as he usually does with anyone who disagrees with him, dismissing something that she had said, and he kept referring to her as Ms. Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, she said to him, "Christopher, I've been to your house. Stop calling me Ms. Walsh. You can call me Joan." and it was kind of an interesting moment.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it is that they were, both Matthews and Walsh were polite enough not to point out that Christopher Hitchens broke with the progressives that he used to be considered a part of and supported Bush on the war in Iraq and took a lot of heat for that and enjoyed it. He reveled in being the contrarian in that debate.
Yeah, I think that's part of Hitchens' shtick, if you will, is being the contrarian, being not just a contrarian, but also kind of a jerk, exceedingly rude to anyone that he's debating, and that's kind of his thing that he's developed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it did seem to come about perhaps at the same time as his sort of break with the left. He used to write a column for The Nation, and he sided with George Bush after 9/11 and on the Iraq War. I guess he's not quite as prominent a figure as he was a few years ago, but he can still get invitations on television.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one other thing. I've pretty much stopped watching Chris Matthews because I've got a better offer from Rachel Maddow and just so much time to spend with a cable news program in the evening. But have you heard these rumors that Chris might, his contract is up in May or June, and he is dropping hints that he might run for the Senate in Pennsylvania against Arlen Specter? And I have one comment on that. Ha!
Yes, this is something that apparently he's toyed with for a long time as running for office. He's from Pennsylvania originally, and Specter is getting a little long in the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And may face another primary challenge from Pat Toomey, who is a far-right Republican, as opposed to Specter, who's kind of a moderate Republican.
Right.
Toomey ran against him in the primary last time. He may face that again. And there are no obvious Democrats. There are a few members of Congress who might do it. But this would require Matthews to run as a Democrat. And there have been some rumors. There was a reported story that he was talking to people about potentially joining a Senate campaign staff. He did then deny that. But it's certainly something that's floating around and appears to be floating around in his mind for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I've known Chris since he was just a lowly print journalist working for the San Francisco Examiner back in the 80s and 90s. And his head has swelled quite a bit since he hit television and the seven-figure salary. So I have mixed feelings, but he's a smart guy. And Pennsylvania is a tough place for a Democrat to run. It's a fairly conservative state. He's not all that liberal himself, and he has a brother who has run statewide as a Republican there. So there is some potential for him there. We'll have to watch that one. Paul, another top story at Media Matters today follows on the New York Times expose this past Sunday about General Barry McCaffrey and the non-disclosure of his extensive business interests in the military-industrial complex. When he goes on television, and they showed how frequently he's been on television the last 6 years, to promote often the talking points of the Bush administration. And there was another clip aired that you point out here on Media Matters on the NBC Nightly News, where he was discussing the situation in Afghanistan, but there was no disclosure of his corporate conflicts.
Yeah, and you would think that after some of the exposés that have been in the New York Times and frankly that We at Media Matters have followed up on, that they would be a little more careful about this sort of thing. A few months back, the Times did an enormous article, extensively reported, about how the Pentagon basically engaged the services of a whole series of retired generals to take their talking points and then go on cable networks, broadcast networks, where they are ostensibly these objective, very well-informed experts on military affairs, in the guise of actually explaining to people what's going on in Iraq or in Afghanistan, but actually they're delivering the administration's message. I think they call them message force multipliers,
mm-hmm,
in that military jargon. And there's probably none of them who gets on the air more than Barry McCaffrey does. And the Times just did a follow-up just about him, and he's really almost a one-man industry. I mean,
yeah,
he's appeared on television hundreds and hundreds of times, and he has a web of ties with military contractors, not just the Pentagon, but also military contractors.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, he goes on NBC, and he's talking about the Afghan security forces, and what they don't say is that he's on the board of directors of a corporation called DynCorp International, which, has a $300 million contract with the State Department to train the Afghan National Police. So, his corporate ties are obviously give him a financial interest in the thing that he's ostensibly an expert on. And you would think that after this has all come out, they would be a little more careful about making those things clear. But they're not.
Well, going back a few years to a previous president of NBC News, I just happened to be at a social occasion and sat next to this guy, Neil Shapiro. And in between chortles, I mentioned to him, I said, I watch MSNBC quite a bit. And I recently noticed that there was a series of stories about the new interest in revamping and reinvigorating the nuclear power industry in this country. And I said, Neil, there's never a disclosure that NBC is owned by General Electric, which is in the nuclear power industry business. They make generators and turbines and things like that. And he just blew it off. He said, oh, that was just an oversight. We always disclose that. I said, well, four times it wasn't mentioned. And he said, oh, I'll look into it. Can I have the salt, please? So just based on that anecdote, I don't know that they take those conflicts very seriously. But at minimum, I believe that the Times story accentuates that the public deserves disclosure about the ties that McCaffrey and other generals have when they appear on television commenting on current events that could affect the businesses they're involved with. We'll take a break and return. Paul Waldman is with us from Media Matters. Visit their website at mediamatters.org. And you can call in if you have a comment or a question. My number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
This is PWT News. We are here at the North Pole where scandal has erupted. Accusations, rumors, and all-out attacks are flying fast and furious around Santa's Toy Shop this holiday season. Can St. Nicholas himself really be guilty of sexual harassment against one of the reindeer? Look, there's Dasher. Dasher, can you comment on the scandal?
You want a comment? I got a comment. I don't know what happened. I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Can Christmas be saved in the face of these accusations?
I'm flying. I'll be leading the eight this year, next year, every year.
And does Mrs. Claus have a drinking problem?
Lady, what the are you talking about?
Paperwing Theater Company presents the dark Christmas comedy, The Eight Reindeer Monologues, December 5th through 22nd at 320 Hoffman Avenue in Monterey. Get tickets at the door or by calling 675-0521. The Eight Reindeer Monologues is a tart alternative to candy cane Christmas cheer. Call 675-0521 to reserve tickets now. Come and see what all the eight reindeer have to say about this scandal. Call 675-0521 now.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go... Where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
The Collins Show, we're taking a look at the performance of the corporate media. And Paul Waldman is in the house with us. He's a senior fellow at Media Matters. They're a great website, mediamatters.org, with a lot of powerful information. You can see the actual original clip from a corporate outlet and then the commentary on it, and I think it's very powerful stuff. And, Paul, one of the items that's up at Media Matters is about how the talking points in conservative radio these days all seem to be revolving around raising questions about Barack Obama's birth certificate and trying to challenge his fitness or qualification to be president of the United States, challenging whether he's a natural-born American. And the Obama campaign tried to put this to rest. They put his birth certificate up on his website, and we've had confirmation from Honolulu that, yes, his original birth certificate is preserved here. Yet the right-wing talkers keep dredging this up, and they use the flimsiest possible evidence. There was a phone call made by a shock jock team in Detroit to Kenya where they were able to confuse the guy on the other end of the line in conflating the birth of Obama's father in Kenya and Barack's own birth, which was not in Kenya.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, you kind of shake your head at it and you want to say, guys, you lost. Get over it. But it really is, I think, something that was actually predictable. Maybe not this particular thing, but I've been saying for months that if Obama wins, the people on the extreme right are going to find ways to not accept the legitimacy of his presidency. That he can't. It's almost as if they can't accept the idea that a majority of American voters would cast their ballot for a Democrat. So it has to be that he's somehow illegitimate. And this is one of the things that they've seized on. And we've seen this on not just local and regional conservative radio, but on some nationally syndicated conservative talk radio. We've seen it pop up on Fox News by implication. The idea that that somehow Obama maybe wasn't born in America. Now, some people will actually come out and say he was born in Kenya. Some people will say, well, you know, he hasn't really answered the question, or he hasn't really shown us the birth certificate. When, of course, as you said, he has.
Mm-hmm.
He put it up on his website. And the Hawaii Department of Health confirmed that that he was, in fact, born there. There was an announcement in the paper. But it's as though it's just impossible that he could be a legitimate president, so they have to continue to give fuel to these kinds of bizarre conspiracy theories in order to undermine him by saying that it's not just that they disagree with him on policy, but that his very presidency is illegitimate.
Yeah. And, Paul, I know two of these offenders here. Brian Sussman used to be a television weatherman here in San Francisco and converted to a right-wing talk show host. He's really extreme and very conservative in his views, but is very comfortable departing from fact-based commentary. Mark Davis is a guy I worked with in Washington, D.C. in the early 90s at WRC, and he's a pretty honest and decent guy, but he fills in for Limbaugh occasionally, and he picked up on this theme and was using a lot of inferences and innuendo to try to keep that point alive. And so these are people who I know well enough to know that they know better.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder how many people out there actually believe this. I mean, obviously, no presidential candidate in history probably got targeted with a campaign of misinformation the way that Barack Obama did. It came from conservative talk radio hosts. It came from websites. It came from emails. And there were a whole series of lies about him that were told that we all became so familiar with. But one of the things that happened was a pretty healthy portion of the public actually believed them. We saw in polls that around between 10% and 12% of the public thought that Obama was Muslim, when in fact he's Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of the least slanderous thing.
Are you sure?
That's one thing to think that maybe he's a Muslim, but the people believe that he attended a fundamentalist madrasa and that he was some kind of terrorist Manchurian candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one more thing to add to the list, and it really makes you wonder, if there's just a kind of a small portion of the crazies who believe it, that's one thing. But if you actually get a healthy portion of the public that believes it, some of whom are not crazy, then it really is something much more problematic. And you have some of these radio shows with millions of listeners, like Limbaugh's show, like Michael Savage's show, that are propagating this lie about him. Mm-hmm. And so it continues even after the election.
Yeah. Media Matters has also done excellent coverage on the myth-making of the media about $73 an hour auto workers in Detroit or working for the Big Three of Detroit. And I want to direct people to Media Matters to read about it. Eric Bollert tipped us off in his column last week, did a great job of exposing that, but the myth projection continues, and I'm glad you're on the story there. Paul Waldman, thanks for your help.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you again real soon. Paul Waldman at MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, grab that plastic bottle of water. We're going to talk about who owns it, where it came from, and how it ought to be structured. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by New York Life Insurance Company. Life insurance from New York Life is one of the most selfless gifts you can give your family. That's why New York Life is the company you keep. And by Bose Quiet Comfort 2 acoustic noise-canceling headphones. Reduce noise, enjoy music undisturbed. I'm Charles Osgood. According to a bipartisan, congressionally mandated task force, the probability that terrorists will soon strike a major city with a weapon of mass destruction is now more likely than not.
We talked to about 250 U.S. government officials who said to us that they're very worried about the immediate and longer-term threat of terrorist groups getting access to biological or nuclear capabilities.
More from Commission Member Tim Romer after this. For that special holiday gift, think of Bose Quiet Comfort 2 acoustic noise-canceling headphones. These are no ordinary headphones. They reduce background noise, which means that I can enjoy my music undisturbed, and they're so comfortable I can wear them for hours. Call 800-611-1468 by the end of this month to try them yourself for a full 90 days risk-free. That's an extended trial that Bose is making only for Quiet Comfort headphones. I especially like using the QC2 headphones when I'm flying. You can plug them into the portable MP3 player, even the aircraft entertainment system, and the noise reduction lets me enjoy more natural, lifelike sound. And I also use them to reduce distractions and hear music more clearly when I'm at work or at home. When I want to relax, I can just use the noise reduction. Call 800-611-1468 or visit Bose.com/listen to order a set of QC2 headphones for yourself as an outstanding gift or both. Order now and you'll get free shipping, too. Call 800-611-1468 today. What happened in Mumbai, India last week shows how much havoc, death, and destruction can be visited on a major city by a handful of men carrying conventional weaponry. Imagine if what they had in those sacks was not grenades and AK-47s, but nuclear explosives or weaponized germs like anthrax spores. Tim Romer, a former congressman who was on the 9/11 commission, is also on this one.
There is a greater sense of urgency to do more on this. You know, the number of biological labs is growing. The number of nation states trying to get nuclear weapons is growing.
And not only nation states, but non-governmental terrorist groups.
Al-Qaeda and other groups have shown a desire to acquire it, and we need to have more urgency.
In our judgment, says the commission's report, America's margin of safety is shrinking, not growing. The threats are growing, not shrinking.
We've recommended that the intelligence community do more to change and improve their level of expertise in science and technology and human intelligence so that we can pick these threats up.
And since the threat is global, says Romer, no country in the world is safe.
This is an international problem and challenge.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
The holidays can be a time of hope and connection, and can bring opportunities to spend more time with friends and family. For some, this can be the most difficult time of the year. This year, think of the true spirit of the holidays and consider giving the gift of a renewed connection with someone you care about. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Santa Claus and Dr. Chaim Barton. I can work with you and your loved ones to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection this holiday season. I still have a few spaces left and would love to help. Please call one of our elves for an appointment. 831-818-4033. That's area code 831-818-4033.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Here in San Francisco, some boys and girls are gathering to plot the future of privatized, corporatized, exploited water. It's a natural resource that flows from Mother Earth, but hey, you put it in a plastic bottle, put a label on it, claim it came from somewhere exotic, and you can make a bundle of money. That's our water.
You just got mad today. That wild-eyed voice that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. Back in town, boys, back in town. I said, back in town.
Most people are familiar with the oil cartel called OPEC. There's a corporate water cartel, too, and the key players are meeting in San Francisco this week for a conference where they're paying each individual who attends $1,900 for the privilege of sharing strategies on how they can take more public water and privatize it, make a profit on it, and make us all feel like it's a good thing in the process. To talk about it, we turn to Jeff Conant. He's Director of International Programs at Food and Water Watch, and their website has a lot of great information, foodandwaterwatch.org. And he's Director of their International Programs. Also, their liaison to a coalition of water rights groups throughout the Americas called Red Vita. Jeff, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be on.
Well, it's good to talk with you. And it's quite a parade of companies that are represented here at this conference. The big water sellers are Nestle and Coca-Cola, plus the soft drink manufacturers, Pepsi, brewers like Miller Coors, and large food companies, plus large water users in the electronic sector. Computers and other systems are often water-cooled in the big installations. So they're gathering, and I haven't seen the latest James Bond movie, Quantum of Solace, but from what I understand, the lead nemesis is a phony environmentalist named Dominic Green. Have you seen any people like Dominic Green attending this conference, Jeff?
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get into the conference myself due to lack of pocket change, the $1,900 fee to get in. But Dominic Green is exactly the sort of person that we would expect to see there, a sort of corporate executive who sees water not as a human right but as a business opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's exactly right. The great villain from the new James Bond movie probably was there.
Yeah. Well, I just want to tell you a little bit of my own history with water, and then I want to talk about some of the issues that are before us today. My grandmother inherited a small piece of property in Cincinnati that had a natural spring on it, and my family was in the bottled water business for about 35 years. And we had trucks, and we bottled the water at the spring, and, you know, we delivered it to people's homes and businesses. And it really shriveled up when the water was cleaned up, the river water that supplies the waterworks in Cincinnati. They came up with better ways to process it and get some of the bad taste out of it. And essentially the market for bottled water just dried up, if you'll forgive the expression.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the introduction of these designer waters, first Perrier and then some of its competitors, that got people's attention. And now it is so ubiquitous, virtually everyone has one of these little plastic bottles with branded water within reach of almost wherever you are, in the car, at home, at work. It has proved to be a very profitable enterprise. And it raises a host of very important questions. Let me first ask you just about the quality of the product that we're buying and whether it's truthfully marketed, because so much of bottled water is just filtered from a tap and put in a bottle with a nice little label on it, and people pay a premium for water that they could get for next to nothing out of their own taps.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. One thing we know is that bottled water is regulated not by the EPA but by the FDA, as the Food and Drug Administration. The Food and Drug Administration has exactly one half of one person working on regulating bottled water quality, whereas the EPA, which regulates our drinking water from our tap water, has a whole department and tests the water thousands of times a day,
mm-hmm.
every city, town, and village across the country. So just that fact alone shows us that there is absolutely no reason to trust tapped water more than we would. I mean, to trust bottled water more than we would trust tap water. But they put these pictures of pristine mountain vistas on the bottles and create a kind of fear of our public tap water, which, in fact, tap water is the very basis of public health in mm-hmm. in the U.S. and Europe.
And there are other issues we won't detail, but the plastic bottles themselves that are so common now have bisphenol A, which is believed to be a very serious toxic compound, and that's something that people seem oblivious to. Now, let me ask you, because right here in front of me, I have a bottle of Crystal Geyser. It's labeled as Natural Alpine Spring Water. And as you just suggested, there is a lovely photo of snow-capped peaks here. And in the fine print, it says, bottled at the CG Roxanne source near California's Mount Shasta. Now, what does that really mean?
Yeah, exactly. What does that really mean? As long as there is, I mean, it means springs are fed by the groundwater.
Yeah.
So we, as far as I understand, in order to call it spring water, it does have to be bottled from a groundwater source that has some geological relationship to a spring.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they take it from the spring. They could take it from, you know, from the groundwater well downstream from the spring. And that leaves aside the question of who that spring may actually belong to.
Right.
For example, in the events that we've been hosting in San Francisco the last few days, we've had one of our colleagues from the Winnemem Wintu tribe, which is one of the native tribes who live around Mount Shasta, and they tell us that their springs are drying up, the mm-hmm. springs that they've been drawing their drinking water from literally for thousands of years. And that's because downstream and upstream and everywhere you have Nestle, you have Crystal Geyser, you have Coca-Cola vying for a bottling plant up there. So that, too, is one of the big questions around bottled water, is how do these companies have the right to dry up streams and springs and creeks that have been used by folks for decades or hundreds of years?
We're talking with Jeff Conant. He's from foodandwaterwatch.org. If you have a question or comment, put down that fancy water bottle and give us a call. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Jeff, as we look at this, what we've just discussed leads to a very obvious question. Who owns these water resources? When Nestle or Coca-Cola or any one of their subsidiaries comes into an area and says, hey, we're going to create some jobs here. We're going to bottle some water. Well, initially people took the jobs argument and said, great, we got plenty of water. But they are producing bottled water in such huge volume now that it truly is impinging on the water rights of other users, farmers, civic sources that use it for public water. And is there a very clear legal precedent about who owns the water that appears, say, coming out of a spring in the ground?
Yeah. Well, one thing, I mean, I suppose I should preface my answer by saying that I'm not a legal expert on these questions, and I focus largely on international issues, so I can't claim to know California water policy in intimate detail. I do know that California and Texas are the only states, apparently, that lack regulation of groundwater resources, and that water law is generally a very murky area. There's this saying that water runs uphill towards money, and that's how water law, especially in the West, has generally been developed.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of ad hoc, and so one of the problems is that counties can sell the rights to drinking water, I mean the rights to the groundwater, to private bottlers as if they were farmers, as if they were neighbors who have the equal right to use the water. And then those bottling companies, rather than using, you know, 100 gallons a day for family use, use millions of gallons a day.
And are there any legal advocates you might be aware of who represent the interests of people who feel their water is being stolen?
There's here in California, there's a really interesting group called the Public Trust Alliance, which likes to remind folks that water is a public trust, and in fact that there is a lot of legal precedent for water as a public resource and not a private resource. That's one organization. Food and Water Watch itself has a California water program that works with legal advocates. I can't claim to be deeply informed on that, but Food and Water Watch itself does do that work in California. And then there are, you know, there are good people on water boards across the state, so it would be a question of talking to your local water utility, many of which, I mean, 95% of water utilities in the U.S. are still public utilities, and they're drawing their water from the ground as well, and that's what we're getting out of our taps.
Yeah.
So those are good people to contact and to be friends with.
And in the San Francisco area, we primarily get our water from Hetch Hetchy, which is the reservoir just north of Yosemite. It's great water. It tastes great. And it amazes me to see how many people will pass that up for an expensive bottle of water of unknown origin.
Yeah. In fact, there were some studies done not long ago of San Francisco's water, and they were found to have the scientists who were looking at it found that there were no contaminants, and they claimed in the article that I was just looking at on this that they had never found that before. There's always something. Not to say that it's always problematic, because very small amounts, you know, aren't necessarily harmful, whether they're biological or chemical, but they found in the San Francisco water absolutely nothing, meaning it's great water.
Jeff Conant, we're talking with Jeff Conant here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll go to the phones here in just a few minutes, but I wanted to ask you about one other issue that's floating around here, and forgive my choice of words. The industry is talking about what they call water neutrality, and we'll describe their interpretation of that in a moment. But as I first heard about this, it struck me the same way of Chevron Oil's greenwashing commercials, where they talk about how when they drill now, they drill sensitively.
Right.
It's like, you know, they put little cotton pads on the drill bits as they're going into the earth.
Exactly. No, nobody's being hurt by this.
Yeah. So what do they define as water neutrality, and is it a meaningful phrase?
Yeah, in our view, it is absolutely not a meaningful phrase. Fortunately, to this point, the phrase hasn't gotten out there, and one of our concerns about the conference that's happening in San Francisco right now is that we've seen in the program that the that basically Coca-Cola was gave the keynote speech in the conference yesterday, and that speech was to be about water neutrality, which is a concept that they essentially developed. They hired scientists in Europe to come up with this concept of water neutrality based on the idea of carbon neutrality. Now, carbon neutrality became, if not an everyday word, something that's familiar to most of us, largely through Al Gore's film. And carbon neutrality means, you know, that you can offset the amount of carbon that you put into the atmosphere through tree planting projects and through green, you know, through green energy and other things, essentially to become carbon neutral, to not release carbon into the atmosphere. That, at least in theory, while it has its problems in practice, at least in theory, it is a feasible concept. Water neutrality, however, is not. Water, we consume it, and we return most of it to the environment. But if you are a massive corporation like Coca-Cola, using something like, where do I have the figure here, using, you know, billions of gallons of water a year, adding sugar, adding caramel coloring, adding their secret ingredient, that water is not going back into the water cycle.
Well, and without getting into too much personal human behavior in the bathroom, they're kind of relying on us to be the filters, huh? We drink their products, and then
I like
we
to call it tinkle down economics. exactly what we're talking about here. One of the initial concept papers about water neutrality says that, basically it says, and I quote, it says, alternative names to water neutral that have been suggested include water offsetting, water stewardship, and water use, and or water reduction and reuse. However, none of these terms seem to have the same gravity or resonance with the media, officials, or NGOs as the term neutrality. So, in other words, it's a PR term.
Yeah, it's been focus grouped.
Yeah, exactly. It's been focus grouped. People like it,
uh-huh.
Which is exactly why Food and Water Watch and a handful of other organizations have caught on to the term and decided that we better put an end to its use before it catches on, because it is the kind of term that people, you know, people may find attractive,
mm-hmm.
and it's essentially meaningless and dangerous, because there are, you know, there are many people, many local governments, many, I'd even say corporations, who are doing their best to use less water, to pollute less water, and to be very conscious of the fact that we're living a major water crisis. So to have these corporations coming up with pseudoscientific jargon and essentially using it to increase their bottom line is misleading and offensive.
We're going to take a break and return. Jeff Conan is with us. His organization, Food and Water Watch, on the web, foodandwaterwatch.org. If you have a question or comment, put the water down and call me now. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Water thieves will be shot. Survivors will be shot again.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Who owns that bottled water you've been buying? And what human rights do we have to the water resources in our turf, our territory? We're talking about these issues and the Corporate Water Conference that's underway in San Francisco this week. Our guest is Jeff Conant with foodandwaterwatch.org. Powerful website, lots of good information there. And Jeff, is access to water without having to pay for it and buy it from a corporation, in your view, a fundamental human right?
Yeah, absolutely. What's interesting is that it's contested because it wasn't written into the original Declaration of Human Rights, that the UN Charter back in 1948. We imagine because at that point it was impossible to conceive of the thought that water would be denied to anyone, let alone be bottled and sold, let alone be, you know, be privatized. There are actually people at the United Nations working on promoting a treaty on water as a human right, and many national governments, Bolivia, Venezuela, Uruguay, South Africa, many countries are now putting the right to water in their constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So people worldwide do view it as a human right. Unfortunately, the private sector looks at it as a business opportunity.
Here's Ben in Salinas. Go ahead, Ben. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, I have been aware for a long time that the WTO has a plan to control all the fresh water in North and South America and in Brazil. They've already done it. They loaned them a bunch of money. The people couldn't pay it back, and they took their water rights. This is a plan. Also, Peter, the best water in the world is the Hetch Hetchy. Do you know that there's a group of people that want to drain the Hetch Hetchy? Can you imagine?
Yeah, I have heard about that.
Plan?
Yeah, and
something having to do with the silt.
Well, it's because they want to return that valley to its original state.
There you go. Well, anyway, yeah. That's my 2 cents for the day, Peter, and thank you for the job you do and
okay.
The brother man there on the other side.
Okay, Ben, thank you very much. Now to Catherine in Monterey, also listening on KRXA. Go ahead, Catherine.
Oh, good afternoon, Peter B. You know, here on the Monterey Peninsula, some of the things that Ben just mentioned, you know, Agenda 21 is part of the issues that we face here, especially in Santa Cruz. But here in Monterey, you know, they have a water board that hasn't been able to figure out how to resolve water issues on the Monterey Peninsula for ages. And most people, the reason why I called mainly is to say again that the CalAmp, California American Water Company, that controls the distribution of our water here in Monterey,
mm-hmm.
is not Californian or American.
That's right.
It's owned by a German company called RWE.
Yeah.
And I think most people are not even aware of this as they go about their daily lives, you know, and try to, you know, take care of their families here
on
the peninsula.
And Jeff Conant, how widespread is this foreign investment in American waterworks?
Yeah, in fact, it's funny. It's not funny you should mention RWE. They are one of the big four water companies. Most of the money that goes from the World Bank and the other international financial institutions to fund privatized water go to four major transnational companies. They're not going to local utilities, let alone communities. They're going to corporations that are already earning billions a year in profits, and RWE is certainly one of them.
Yeah. All right, we got time for one more. It's Catherine in Santa Cruz. Welcome, Catherine.
Oh, thank you, Peter. I'm calling because I'm also concerned about the artificial addition of fluoride into all of our water supplies, which was mandated by Pete Wilson when he was governor of the state of California, that cities and towns of a certain size had to put in the machinery necessary to process fluoride into the water supplies. And so San Francisco is drinking fluoride, bottled water customers are drinking fluoride, and there's a book called The Fluoride Deception.
Mm-hmm.
And fluoride, by the way, is spelled F-L-U-O. And the name of the author is Christopher Bryson.
All right.
B as in boy, R-Y-S-O-N.
Well, let me stop you there and get a quick comment from Jeff. Is fluoride a big issue to you, Jeff?
You know, fluoride is a very controversial issue, and I'm actually, I wouldn't feel comfortable making a statement either way on it. I do have an understanding that fluoride is a byproduct from the aluminum smelting industry. And is sold to our water utilities from that source.
All right. Well, we'll let people read the book recommended by Catherine. I appreciate your call, Catherine. And, Jeff, thank you for joining us. Thanks for the work that you're doing to try to protect our public water.
Yeah, thank you.
The website, again, foodandwaterwatch.org. Food, spell out A-N-D, foodandwaterwatch.org. The Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does your...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Auto workers embrace the C word.
The word concessions? I used to cringe at that word, but now, why hide from it?
Huge job losses in November, especially in finance.
No other sector has cut so many jobs in 1 month.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Leaders of the United Auto Workers meeting in Detroit today outlined a plan to give up some of the union's hard-fought gains in an effort to save their jobs. UAW President Ron Gettelfinger.
We're going to make modifications. We're not opening the contract, if you will. We make modifications, which under our Constitution we have a right to do, but then we take them back to the membership.
CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds reports on what the leaders agreed to.
They allowed the Big Three to delay paying their promised share into a multi-billion dollar health fund the union will start running in 2010. Until then, though, the companies are paying medical, dental, and vision coverage to all workers as well as retirees, who outnumber current employees 3-1. And the union suspended the controversial jobs bank, in which laid-off workers receive 85% of their regular pay while idle.
The concessions are designed to help General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler win billions in federal loans. They make their pitch on Capitol Hill tomorrow. Right now, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the plan to tap the $700 billion financial rescue package doesn't have the votes to pass. The White House wants to use $25 billion already available from the Energy Department, and today, spokeswoman Dana Perino was noncommittal about alternatives.
Let us take a look at the plans and let them have their testimony and see that if we can help them. We don't want anybody to be negatively affected by a bankruptcy, but sometimes companies do fail.
Pennsylvania Democrat Paul Kanjorski says one of Detroit's big problems is executive compensation.
The highest paid executive in the Japanese industry, I understand, is around $3 million a year, and here the CEOs are getting $20 million a year. These companies are failing. The Japanese companies are succeeding.
CEOs of the Big Three have cut their pay to $1 a year. Now this.
An official message from Medicare.
Today I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's tax season. Well, technically April 15th is past, but now is the time to incorporate your business if you want to reap the tax savings and numerous benefits this year. LegalZoom makes incorporating your business easy and more affordable than ever. Over a million people have discovered how easy and affordable it is to use LegalZoom for important legal documents. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. They provide self-help services at your specific direction. For a special discount off most orders, enter POWER at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
The Treasury Department reportedly is considering a plan to stimulate the housing market by cutting mortgage rates. We talked to Greg McBride, senior financial analyst at Bankrate.com.
Lower mortgage rates are designed to put more buying power in the pocket of prospective home buyers. That helps anybody who's trying to buy a house, but it also helps people that are trying to sell them.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the plan involves Treasury backing of the loans guaranteed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in an effort to bring rates down as low as 4.5%. When the November unemployment figures come out Friday, they won't be pretty. John Challenger of Challenger Gray and Christmas says more than 180,000 jobs were cut last month.
Hardest hit was the financial sector with over 91,000 job cuts.
Another report says 250,000 people lost jobs last month. A report from the Fed says economic activity weakened nationwide in November. Retailing slowed, factories cut production. But the stock market shrugged off the bad news. The Dow gained 172 points to close at 85.91. The Nasdaq finished 42 points higher. Another slot filled. President-elect Barack Obama announced today he's nominating New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson to be Commerce Secretary.
I know Bill will be an unyielding advocate for American business and American jobs. At home and around the world, and I look forward to working with him in the years ahead.
With his strong foreign policy resume, Richardson was considered a prospect for Secretary of State, but he also has plenty of domestic experience and expects to be a major player.
There's a vital role for the Department of Commerce in our economic recovery.
Reportedly, Mr. Obama is considering another Hispanic politician, California Congressman Javier Becerra, to be U.S. Trade Representative. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, this is Sally Field. I always thought calcium and vitamin D and exercise would keep my bones healthy, but I got osteoporosis anyway, so my doctor started me on once monthly Boniva, and he told me something important. Boniva works with your body to help stop and reverse bone loss.
Boniva ibandronate sodium is a prescription tablet for postmenopausal osteoporosis. See our ad in Cooking Light. Don't take Boniva if you have low blood calcium, severe kidney disease, or can't sit or stand for at least 1 hour. Follow dosing instructions carefully. Stop taking Boniva and tell your doctor if you have difficult or painful swallowing, chest pain, or severe or continuing heartburn, as these may be signs of serious upper digestive problems. If jaw problems or severe bone, joint, and or muscle pain develop, tell your doctor.
I've got this one body and this one life, so I'm doing my best to build strong, healthy bones. Ask your doctor if Boniva is right for you.
Boniva. Help stop and reverse bone loss. For a free trial offer, call 1-800-4-BONIVA or visit Boniva.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, now live in Boston, every weekday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And you're welcome to call in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. We're also heard up and down the left coast and on Sundays at noon on Green 960 in San Francisco. Wherever you are, however you're listening, I'm delighted. You can reach out to me by email, peter@peterbcollins.com. This hour, two fabulous progressive voices, Dar Jamail about Iraq and Antonia Yuhas about oil. Dar Jamail is an independent journalist. He's made many trips to Iraq over the last few years, and he put it all together in his book, which is now out in paperback, called Beyond the Green Zone, Dispatches from an Unembedded Journalist in Iraq. He's my go-to guy when I don't believe what I'm reading in America's media about what's going on in occupied Iraq. He has a forthcoming book due out in the spring, Military Resistors, Soldiers Who Refused to Fight in Iraq. Dar, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today.
always good to be with you.
And I wanted to commend you on your updated website at dahrdar.org. It looks great.
Hey, thanks very much.
You must have been working feverishly on that.
We were.
Uh-huh. Well, I wanted to start off with your assessment of Obama's national security team, and in particular, what it means for his campaign pledges, as fuzzy as some of them were, to bring American troops home from Iraq. And with the team of Jim Jones, the holdover Robert Gates, Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, Joe Biden will clearly be in the mix there as a foreign policy advisor. How do you feel about the team that Obama's put together?
Well, I'm, like others, are very, very skeptical about it. I think it's very disconcerting when you see someone with as much potential and possibility as President-elect Barack Obama then do such a kind of abrupt change of course, really kind of antithetical to so much that he put out there during his campaign about real change and you know, doing work to bring some credibility back to U.S. reputation across the world. And that would start with U.S. foreign policy. And then to go and do things like keeping on Robert Gates as Secretary of Defense and appointing someone like Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, which is almost laughable when we look at her track record and how utterly hawkish she's been. And then so many of these other people that he's brought in for his transition team, people like former Deputy Defense Secretary John White and so many others that we could go down such a long list of names at this point of these people that are extremely hawkish in their foreign policy. And we look at regarding both the situations in Iraq and Afghanistan, when now we have Barack Obama in a position where he's admittedly agreeing to people like Robert Gates of really continuing on with the occupation, of taking troops from Iraq to put them into Afghanistan, which is getting worse by the day. It really is disconcerting when we look into the future and what this foreign policy is truly likely to entail.
We talked to Jeremy Scahill recently on the program, and he made the point that not one person in the senior level team that's been assembled to date was against the war. You have Biden, Clinton, Gates, you've got Rahm Emanuel. These were all people who fully supported Bush in the authorization to use force, and who, for the most part, have stayed on board. Emanuel and Clinton have never formally apologized or repudiated their support for Bush's war.
No, absolutely. I actually wrote a piece recently, and I'd like to just quote Hillary Clinton, because it's one thing when we remember these things of, yes, these are, and to say that, yes, these are hawkish people, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, go on down a long list. But it's another thing to really remember specifically what they say, particularly in light of the fact here we are 5.5 years into the occupation, over 1.2 million Iraqis have been killed, over 4,000 American soldiers have been killed, one out of every six Iraqis are displaced from their homes. This is a direct result of U.S. foreign policy. And Hillary Clinton, who supported the Iraq Liberation Act of 1998, which essentially laid the groundwork for Bush's invasion in 2003, and Hillary Clinton, who said, quote, Saddam Hussein has worked to rebuild his chemical and biological weapons stock, his missile delivery capability, and his nuclear program. He has also given aid, comfort, and sanctuary to terrorists, including al-Qaeda members. I want to ensure that Saddam Hussein makes no mistake about our national unity and our support for the president's efforts to wage America's war against terrorists and weapons of mass destruction, end quote. I mean, George Bush could not have said that better himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and do you take any comfort from this quote from Max Boot? Max Boot is one of the real, you know, inspirational leaders of the neocon movement in the Republican Party. Quote, I am gobsmacked by these appointments, most of which could just as easily have come from a President McCain.
I think that says it all. I mean, I don't really know what else you or I or Jeremy Scahill, who also quoted, brilliantly quoted Max Boot with that in one of his recent pieces. I mean, I think that really sums it up. When you've got the hardcore rightish hawks and the neocons themselves applauding these different appointments, it's that's very, very worrisome. And for those of us who hope that there is some room to push Barack Obama in a better direction, I think it just underscores the fact of how much we really have our work cut out for us.
Now, I agree with everything you've said, and I just want to pose this for provocation and a little bit of thought. Is there some sort of a scheme here that Barack Obama has in mind and that he's building on that, A, would use Robert Gates as the fall guy? He's aligned with Republicans. He claims he's an independent voter. But when pressed the other day, he said, yeah, I'm a Republican. So is this an effort to tag a Republican to do the dirty work to wrap up a Republican war? And when that those nasty duties are fulfilled, he can be dispatched. And that's the point of change in Obama's mind. Do you see any kind of a scenario that way, Dar?
As crazy as the political system is in this country, it has become at this point, I think I would just have to say let's wait and see. I mean, I would never rule anything out of the realm of possibility nowadays, but especially when we see what's happened up to this point. But I would just say let's wait and see.
Okay. And when you look at this, and one of the other points that Scahill made is that there's no anti-war person in Obama's inner circle. And one of the arguments he's made is that, A, I'm the guy responsible for the change agenda. It's these experienced people around me who will implement it. And secondly, he has, tried to make the case that this kind of continuity is going to give him the skill set and the people with the right contacts to actually put his plans into motion. I find that to be a stretch because I'm not as confident as he seems to be that he's going to be able to get this competitive group to work together and to execute his vision.
I would certainly share that skepticism with you, Peter, because it's really a situation where when you're bringing in these people with the ties that they have and with the foreign policy experience they have doing certain things, I mean, they are brought in to continue to do those things they've done in the past. For example, when we had the U.S. ambassador of Iraq in 2004 and in early 2005 was John Negroponte. He was specifically appointed into that position to enact certain policies in Iraq that he had experience doing down in Central America when he was Reagan's ambassador to Honduras from 81 to 85. And I'm referencing the death squads, which we've talked about on your program more than once. So you bring in these old war horses to enact certain policies that's their forte. That's what their specialty is. And when you're bringing in these people, it's not to say, oh, we're going to have real democracy inside Barack Obama's presidential cabinet. We're going to have real debate and it's going to be colorful. And we don't want to just surround ourselves with people that think the same way and kind of get into groupthink. No, you're bringing in these people because of their specific experience, talents, and the work that they've done in the past. And to say that we're going to just do that to kind of mix things up or add color or what have you is I think, basically just propaganda because you're bringing, when you appoint someone like Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, and then you're going to talk about, for example, a peace process in the Middle East between Palestine and Israel, that's a bit of a joke because she's one of the most hardline pro-Israel, hardline rightists when it comes to Israel's policy, and enacting someone like that in a position where they're theoretically going to be brokering peace deals, that's a joke. That's just not going to happen, and that's certainly not what we should expect to see happen when you bring people like this in to the positions that Barack Obama is bringing them into.
Now, Hillary Clinton has questioned the wisdom of a timetable for withdrawal. General Jim Jones has been flatly against it. Gates has been against it. And if I'm correct, I think Biden counseled against it as a senator. So the plan now is to set a schedule to withdraw American troops. And what is really enhancing it is the this wobbly agreement that has been reached in Baghdad that U.S. troops must be out by the end of 2011. That's at least a horizon that we can work against. But again, my concern is that all these people who are opposed to timelines are now going to be told by the President of the United States, well, let's put a timeline together. What do you say?
Well, and that's because it's really not a real timeline, because when you really look at how this is being framed, they talk about pulling out, all of the combat troops by the end of 2011. But less than one-third of the U.S. troops in Iraq today are actually technically combat troops. So that means that by the end of 2011, we're still talking about as many as 100,000 U.S. military personnel in Iraq. There is nothing in this recent agreement that has been signed that would indicate all U.S. forces and all foreign contractors operating in Iraq today, every last one of those two groups will be completely removed from the country by the end of 2011. That's just not there. Now, when they talk about removing combat troops, I believe them. I think they sincerely want to lower the number of troops there to free up more to send into places like Afghanistan or other things that are likely to pop up in the future. But again, we're not talking about full withdrawal of troops, and we need to be very, very clear about that. And that's when why I think we will see agreement among so many of these people, like the Bidens and the Clintons and the Gateses, when we are talking about U.S. policy in Iraq.
We're talking with Dar Jamil. We'll take a call or two in the next segment. Join me if you'd like. 888-5-PETER-B. Visit his website. It's dahrdar.org. Dar.org. A lot of good information there, including his latest dispatches. And check out his recent book called Beyond the Green Zone, subtitled Dispatches from an Unembedded Journalist in Iraq. It's out in paperback at your local independent bookstore. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now live in Boston.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000-mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Ponce, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
Next Otter games are Friday and Saturday with Cal State University Chico and Cal State University Stanislaus at the Kelp Bed. Both games at 7:30. Of course, on KRXA 540.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. It's pretty busy out there right now. We have several incidents happening in King City. On southbound 101, just north of Camp Roberts, there is an 8-foot-long 4x4 in the slow lane, so watch out there. Also on southbound 101, on the Lockwood-San Lucas Road off-ramp, there is a big rig on fire. And on Mesa Verde Road at Wild House Road, there are wires down. PG&E will be out in about 30 minutes, and CHP is on the scene. In the Hollister-Gilroy area, there's a traffic collision with an ambulance responding on the southbound 101 just south of Metcalf Road. There is an overturned vehicle on the right-hand side. In weather, tonight will be mostly cloudy with patchy fog. Lows will be in the mid-40s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon, everybody. The Peter B. Cullen Show will be right back.
We continue on the Peter B. Cullen Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. My toll-free number is available to you, 888-5-PETER-B. And you can email me, too, peter@peterbcollins.com. We're talking with independent journalist Dar Jamail. His website is dahrdar.org, and I recommend it to you. And, Dar, I just want to commend you for the acknowledgement that you've received from Project Censored at Sonoma State University. One of the stories you wrote about the death toll of Iraqis was identified as one of the least reported, most censored stories of the past year. And I just want to congratulate you for that recognition.
Thanks very much, Peter.
And it's an important story that continues to linger. We talked with Dr. Les Roberts just about a month ago about his continuing efforts to draw attention to the fatalities in Iraq that certainly exceed the background level of fatalities that would have occurred if we didn't have a war and occupation there. And so I appreciate the work you've done on that. I want to turn to the big picture right now. And your sense of, A, whether the Maliki government will survive, given that the Kurds are getting restless now and having problems with the central government. The Sunnis have kind of held their noses and allowed the SOFA agreement, such as it is, to be approved at the parliament level. But a lot remains to be seen here about the stability of that government. And the subsequent intentions of the Obama administration to draw down American troops from the occupation.
It really does. I think that's a good point. I don't think it's something that we should expect the Maliki government to completely implode or become completely disenfranchised in the coming months. But we do need to keep in mind that there is a referendum vote slated for, I believe it's this coming June, to go over, which could potentially end up in the long run overturning this so-called SOFA agreement that we just saw take place. And that, of course, I think the referendum, assuming it will be legitimate and at least relatively uncorrupted, I think will be a landslide of opposition to this SOFA agreement, which would completely undermine Nouri al-Maliki, because it's him being seen as the person that has led the charge to really kind of usher this through. So there's that factor in addition to those very important factors that you mentioned about the Sunnis and the Kurds really being in opposition, ongoing opposition and increasing opposition to the Maliki administration. I think all of these things coming up, coupled with the provincial elections, which are scheduled for the end of this coming January, which are certainly going to complicate matters, as well as Kurdish efforts to continue to push towards their own independence. All of this together, I think, over time is going to keep whittling away at the tiny amount of legitimacy that Nouri al-Maliki even enjoys today.
And, Dar, did you note, as I did, that the American media covered the parliamentary debate in Baghdad about the SOFA agreement with this kind of cheerleader approach, saying, look at this, you know, rowdy democracy. They're yelling at each other. They're coming into blows. And nobody bothered to mention that the United States is not submitting this agreement to our legislators. It should be treated as a treaty and sent to the Senate for approval. But there's no democracy on this side of the ocean when it comes to brokering this long-term agreement with Iraq.
Right, that this was an agreement that to this day still has not been translated into English fully so that people in our own government can see what kind of treaty has been signed. It's another case in point of the extreme secrecy of the Bush administration of pushing through an agenda with a puppet government in Baghdad in their own interest, making sure they get this locked in the best they can before a new administration takes power. It's really par for the course for the Bush administration, and to see the media once again, in a very complicit way, going along with it, kind of rah-rah cheering what's happening in Baghdad, not holding the Bush administration accountable for yet another extremely undemocratic move regarding the foreign policy in Iraq.
Dar, what's the top of your mind? I've got about a minute here, and I'd just like to know what you'd like to add that our listeners need to know about the U.S.-Iraq situation.
Well, I'd just like to once again underscore the gravity of the situation on the ground for people in Iraq. But what's always lost in the mix is the fact that over 1.2 million Iraqis have been killed, over 4,000 American troops have been killed, one out of six Iraqis are displaced from their homes as we speak, and also, according to the most recent UNHCR figures, there are still more Iraqis leaving the country than are going back home, and of those who have already left, which is over 2.5 million people, over 90% of them even feel that they'll ever try to go back at any time in their entire life. So that really underscores, I think, the magnitude of the suffering and how catastrophic the situation is. And this is what is going on in Iraq as people over here talk about things like, well, maybe reducing the troops this much or status of forces agreement, et cetera, et cetera. We can't forget how devastating the situation remains there on the ground today.
Dar Jamail, the author of Beyond the Green Zone and the forthcoming book about resistors in Iraq, I want to thank you for joining us today and direct people to your website, dahr.org. Thank you, Dar.
Thank you, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
And you thought we wouldn't have a Christmas controversy. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Each year, members of Congress invite local artists to contribute a unique ornament to the White House Christmas display. But this year, Seattle artist Deborah Lawrence happened to hand a snapshot of her ornament to a reporter, and the reporter says, "What's that fine print and the red and white stripes in your ornament?" "Oh, well, that fine print is the text of a resolution to impeach the president that my congressman signed." And just like that, we're back to
the war on Christmas.
Yes, Deborah Lawrence's impeachment ornament has lit up the blogs. She couldn't believe that none of the other artists did anything similar.
Didn't anyone divert a little bit from this sort of unctuous, saccharine, pious, you know, bullshit?
As you might imagine, her ornament was taken off the tree yesterday, only one to be rejected. And yet, she went to the White House reception and was even worried they wouldn't let her in.
I got caught up in the excitement, too. And so when I got to the threshold and they actually did find my name on the list, then that was a good thing.
Even though the whole scene made her gag.
It's just a little bit of a gag reflex.
Which shows that even a hardened anti-establishment artist can get suckered in by the excitement of Washington. It was 3 weeks before Christmas, and in the big house where the president lives along with his spouse, where trees hung with ornaments red, white, and blue, except for the one ball that just wouldn't do. But this president by now should have taken the hint that even on Christmas, you read the fine print. Now this.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. Wait, where's Jim with the Q1 marketing plan?
Well, sir, not sure, but he's been acting kind of strange lately.
Hiya, gang! Sorry I'm late. I was at Office Max stocking up on secret sedatives. Ha-ha! All right, who's up for Smegnog, huh?
Oh, no. He's gone elf.
Office Max is your headquarters for the holidays. And, of course, don't forget to elf yourself at elfyourself.com. This week only, get a Kodak Z1085 10-megapixel digital camera for $119.99. See store for details while supplies last.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
House and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000-mile service checks, complete brakework, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. In a moment, we'll be joined by Antonia Yuhas. Her new book is called The Tyranny of Oil, the world's most powerful industry and what we must do to stop it. Years back, Antonia Yuhas published The Bush Agenda. She's a fellow with Oil Change International and also at the Institute for Policy Studies. And she's appeared on our program many times in the past to help us understand the role of oil in the Bush foreign policy, including the invasion and occupation of Iraq and other issues related to it. Her new book is called The Tyranny of Oil, and it's a powerful look at this industry that is so much a part of our lives, and, it's on our backs, too, just to be fair. And the new book is subtitled The World's Most Powerful Industry and What We Must Do to Stop It. Antonia Yuhas, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be with you again.
It's good to talk with you. And I want to alert our listeners in the North State who tune in on KGOE in Eureka that Antonia is making a series of appearances in the northern part of the state. I'll run it down for you a little bit later in this segment. But Eureka, Arcata, Fort Bragg, Mendocino, Ukiah all have appearances scheduled over the forthcoming days, and we'll give you the schedule and tell you where you can get confirmation of it at her website as we continue our conversation. Antonia, one of the things that you explain in the book that really was helpful to me, something I've been trying to grok for a long time, and that is, how is oil priced? And how do we end up on the short end of the stick so often? Now, right now we have this anomalous situation where even in California, regular unleaded has dropped to below $2, $1.80 or so in my area. And this is a stunning development, a kind of whiplash from what we've been through over the past year. Your book describes how January 1st of 2008, we crossed the threshold to $100 a barrel. And it spiked up to over $150, and now it's down in the range of $45, $50 a barrel. And this is a remarkable roller coaster ride that we've been on this year. Take a couple of minutes here to describe the mechanisms that drive these price changes and help us understand it.
Sure. Well, this is certainly, a moment in history that really is almost completely unprecedented, but there is one historical precedent, and that is, the price rise is most analogous to what happened in 1981, which is the last time, adjusted for inflation, that the price of oil went above $100 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was as a result of an intentional pushing up of the price, a decision to push the price higher, and then pushing the price up to $100 a barrel led to a massive global recession, which then brought the price cascading back down. Well, we've seen a pretty similar set of circumstances, actually. I argue that the price of oil was manipulated up to its high point, and we saw in the beginning of 2008 that the price began its climb above $100 a barrel and ultimately went to $150. But when the price went above $100 a barrel was the moment when the global recession began. It was then dramatically intensified by the subprime mortgage crisis and the banking collapse, but it began when oil reached $100 a barrel. That then began the process of a recession, significantly reducing demand and the outlook for demand, and then we had the subprime mortgage crisis, and all the markets just went haywire. And the markets going haywire has demonstrated how much of the price of a barrel of oil was being dictated and affected not by just the basis of demand-supply fundamentals, but rather by the decisions, the conscientious decisions of traders, people working for the oil companies, people working at banks, people working in their own hedge funds who had been forcing the price of a barrel of oil up. When they then went and sought security, sat down on their trades, tried to get stability, moved out of crude oil trades, is when we saw the price tumble down. And it was really the effect of the markets first and foremost, the effect of traders first and foremost, and then secondarily the fact that we've entered into a massive global recession that has led the price of oil to tumble so significantly. And that is, as I explain in the book, the primary determinant of the price of gasoline, although certainly not the only determinant of the price of gasoline.
Mm-hmm. And, Antonia, in the book you also acknowledge that the weak dollar did contribute somewhat to the spike in the spot price of oil, but it was a relatively minor factor. You attribute maybe 10% to that over the course of the past year or so, and the dollar itself has gone up and down. So it's not a primary driver. Would you agree?
No, and I think, probably the most important thing, and this is probably a little technical, a little quickly, is that, the most important thing is that the trend, particularly for the past 8 years, until we hit this, major anomaly, which is a massive global recession and a massive market meltdown, the likes of which we haven't seen, in probably since the Great Depression, until we hit this massive anomaly, we had a pretty steady trend, which was from the year 2000 to the year 2008, the price of oil going up and up and up and up and up. And what I trace, and probably the most important thing for this discussion, is the rising power and control and consolidation of the oil industry over its market, over the control over price, and its growing political and economic dominance that really accounted for so much of what we saw in the run-up, the constant run-up in the price of oil from the year 2000, which is an important marker, until, we had this massive collapse. And the fact that the price of oil was on such a steady and then dramatic rise from about 2006 to 2008 has everything to do with the power of this industry. The collapse in price has to do with the fact that, it's actually not an omnipotent industry.
Yeah.
And there are other factors at play.
Well, they got so greedy that they pushed beyond the point of market elasticity, and that's what produced the recession, as you point out, compounded now by the subprime mortgage and the disease that has fed into our banking system.
Yeah.
Antonia Juhas with us on the Peter B. Collins Show. Her new book, The Tyranny of Oil, is out, and I recommend it to you. If you have a question or a comment, now's the time to call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. If you're at a filling station, that's perfect. Give us a buzz, 888-573-8372. Antonia, one of the things that I've wrestled with for a long time is the interrelationship between the cost on the spot market and the true cost of delivering a refined gallon of gasoline to the pump that I go and buy it from. And so whether the spot market price is $45, which is roughly where it is today, or $150, where it was just a few months ago, isn't it fair to say that the inventories of the oil companies are large And the cost of those inventories doesn't really bear a direct relationship to the spot market. And what I'm driving at is that there's an incredible amount of price gouging available to them when they're sitting on oil that they bought for $45 a barrel, and they can charge a rate based on the $150 spot price of that moment.
Yeah, but there is certainly a tremendous amount of price gouging that's going on and has been going on. And one of the ways that that has been probably the most obvious is that for a very significant period of time in the United States, we've had growing stocks of crude oil. That's the amount of oil that's sitting in a barrel above ground. Nobody's using it. It's just sitting, essentially gaining money for the oil companies, either because it will be worth more tomorrow, which has been true until very recently. Oil today was worth more. Oil tomorrow was worth more than oil today, and just gaining money for them, or serving essentially as a hold because they're simply choosing not to refine it into gasoline to reduce the supply of gasoline. And one of the things we've seen is since 2006, the oil companies were increasingly exporting more oil out of the United States, and they were increasingly refining less oil into gasoline. And so we saw oil stocks rise, but gasoline stocks decline, even while demand for gasoline in the United States was rising. And as I say, we saw exports rising, which is why, during the campaign when we had Sarah Palin running on the, drill, baby, drill mantra, It was completely ludicrous because one of the problems that we actually had in the U.S. market was too much oil and too much supply, and the oil companies, not making use of what they already had. And the idea that the solution to our problem was more oil, is ludicrous. And right now, in particular, the industry is just swimming in oil, swimming in excess oil.
And describe that for us just in general terms. Is there any shortage? Is there a supply problem that drove up prices over the course of 2008?
Not at all. At no point did we have a supply shortage leading to supply being less than demand at no point whatsoever.
Oh, but they say China is a huge swallower of oil and coal and all these products, these energy products.
Yeah, China has increased its demand, certainly. India has increased its demand. Of course, nobody comes close to using as much oil, of course, as the United States does, and particularly on a per capita basis. But that increasing demand was certainly making the oil more valuable, but at no point was demand, greater than supply. What the oil companies were able to do was push up the price of oil through futures markets and also just charge us what we were willing to pay until there was a point of no return, essentially, when the price went so high that it affected world markets in so many areas, in so many ways.
And it sent demand through the floor.
Sent demand down back through the floor, yeah.
Let's take a call. Here's Terry in Santa Cruz. Welcome, Terry, with Antonia Yuhas.
I drove up from Santa Cruz to Palo Alto, Antonia, to hear you speak at the Peace Center there many weeks ago, and you were absolutely astonishingly excellent.
Thank you.
As you are in this interview. And I want to say you are really a highly intelligent, well-informed person about your subject areas.
Thank you so much.
And I urge people to buy your book, which I'm glad I did, because it removed lots of the mystery about the oil machinations, shall we call them. My question to ask you to address is, could you summarize for your audience, and again, Peter, I would urge you to reference the book Purchase Location before you finish.
All right.
Antonia, what should citizens do, and what should our national policy be, short-term and long-term, please?
Well, thank you, first of all. I didn't pay him for
nope.
that call.
Well, that's Colonel Terry, and he's got an interesting history. He used to be a staunch John McCain supporter, and I love it when he calls. But go ahead, Antonia.
Thank you. You know, there's so much, and it's certainly, you know, one of the things I'll certainly be talking about tonight at my talks, and of course, is covered in the book. And you know, I think maybe the short answer right now is that we are in such a critical moment of change, and I think the most important thing that we can do right now is to be very, very vigilant on the changes that are taking place with the policies that, first of all, the outgoing Bush administration is trying to roll into place very quickly right now before they leave office.
The midnight rules.
Midnight rules. And then also, as the Obama administration is forming and its policies are being laid out, we, the progressive community, have to be very, very clear about, you know, one, our hopefulness for the change that the Obama administration will bring, and our hopefulness for the, in particular, the social movements that got Obama in, and to be very clear about what it is that we in those social movements need to be demanding for the future and looking out for problems. So one of the things for me and for those of us who are, of your listeners who are in California, that is deeply troubling is the new appointment of General Jones as the National Security, the head of the National Security Council, because one of the things he shares in common with George Bush's original appointment to head the National Security Council, Condoleezza Rice, is that both of them were on the board of directors of Chevron. And
yeah, but General Jones doesn't have a tanker named after him, does he?
Oh, really?
No tanker. He hasn't been there long enough to earn his tanker.
Hold on. Terry, go ahead. We can hear you now.
Excuse me, but he post-retirement also went to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to be its energy transition person and then left that.
Yeah, and he's on the board of Boeing, too, so it is a problematic
Chevron.
One.
I've got to
run to a break here, Terry. Thank
you. Well, lady, where are you talking tonight?
We're going to go over that in just a moment, okay? All right. Terry's got to get his own show. Antonia Juhasz spells her last name J-U-H-A-S-Z. The website is at thetyrannyofoil.com, and we'll run down some of her upcoming appearances right after a break, and then talk about my favorite Texas oil couple, Wendy and Phil. Antonia will continue with us in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In the Hollister-Gilroy area on the South M101 just south of Metcalf Road, there is a collision with no injuries. Traffic is pretty backed up there, so use caution. I'm checking the boards and all other traffic is flowing smoothly, so enjoy your commute. In weather, tonight will be cloudy with patchy fog with lows in the mid-40s. Thursday will be partly cloudy in the morning, then mostly sunny, highs in the lower to mid-60s. Sunset is at 4:51 p.m. tonight. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic evening. The Peter B. Collins Show will return in a moment.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Thank you.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, now live in New England on Boston's AM 1510. Great to have you listening. We're talking with Antonia Yuhas. Her powerful new book has a lot in it that we can't cover in just one interview, and we'll probably have her back to talk more. It's called The Tyranny of Oil. And if you go to the website, thetyrannyofoil.com, and click on the calendar link, you can find her appearances. And I'm going to run down a few of them very quickly here for our listeners in the Humboldt County area listening on KGOE. Wednesday night, December 3rd in Eureka at the Labor Temple. Thursday night, December 4th in Arcata at Northtown Books. In Fort Bragg on Friday, December 5th, the town hall there at 7 p.m. Mendocino in the Gallery Bookstop on Friday in the afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m. And then Saturday, December 6th in Ukiah. All the events I mentioned are at 7 p.m. except the Mendocino Gallery Bookstop. And again, the details are on her website at thetyrannyofoil.com. Here is Steve in Salinas. Welcome, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. Hey, I guess my theory was all wrong about why the price of oil was going up, according to Antonia here. I thought the supply had been driven down because of Iraq being out of the picture over many years. But you said that there still was an oversupply even without Iraq. Does that mean that we could even look for better production now with Iraq probably coming
drill, baby, drill. How do you say drill, baby, drill in Arabic?
You know, it's a really important question. One of the things that happened was within about a month of the invasion, Iraq's oil production was back up to pre-war levels, and it definitely was spotty, but pretty much since the invasion, Iraq has been producing oil at just about or at pre-war production. But one of the things that's changed is that more of that oil is being exported out of Iraq, and a very large percentage of it, although we don't know exactly how much, but we know a good amount, has been coming to the United States, and U.S. oil companies have been marketing that oil since the war. Those of us in California, actually, a year ago when we were protesting the five-year anniversary of the war, brought our protest to Chevron's refinery in Richmond because that's where Chevron was refining its Iraqi oil. And that was one of our ways of protesting against the war being fought for oil. So the supply from Iraq has been on the market. Supply has generally been steady, as I said. Demand has gone up, but there has been enough supply. Now, that isn't to say that the world is not facing a very significant problem, which is that oil is a non-renewable natural resource for which we consume between 4 and 6 barrels for every one that we produce. We will run out. We need to move away from this resource most certainly. But in terms of why the cost has gone up, it is not because the world is in the downward slope right now where we have demand exceeding supply. The cost has gone up. Almost the largest factor contributing to the rising cost in oil was the futures market for oil, which is definitely a topic that I go into in great detail in the book.
You do. There's a great deal in the book. Steve, thanks for the call. And, for example, you give the history of the Standard Oil Trust, Rockefeller's empire, and how it was broken up, and it's a model for what could happen in the future. But take a minute here, and we just have 1 minute, to talk about Wendy Graham and her husband, Phil, the former senator from Texas, who was John McCain's top economic advisor this year, and their role in the gaming of the oil industry.
So where big oil turned when it wanted to gain greater control over the price of crude oil was first in 1993 with Wendy Graham when she was the head of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and then far more aggressively with her husband, Senator Phil Graham, in the year 2000 when he was in the Senate, and he was at that time the largest recipient of Enron money and one of the largest recipients of oil money.
And she was on the Enron board.
And then she ended up on the Enron board right after she helped them out. And he actually ended up as the vice president of UBS Bank, which took over Enron's energy trading when Enron got shut down.
Brilliant.
So these two tag team, first Wendy, then Phil, contributed to a massive deregulation through passage of legislation of the crude oil futures markets. And that began in 2000, the run-up in the price of crude. And that's because the oil companies, together with Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, formed their own crude oil futures exchange based in Atlanta that is completely unregulated by the U.S. government. And it is believed, I'm certainly one of those that believe, that the trading on this exchange, the Intercontinental Exchange, has really been the primary contributor to the massive run-up in the price of oil.
And it gives me the opportunity to lecture Mr. former Senator Phil Graham. No whining, Phil. I know oil prices have dropped. No whining. Antonia, it's always a pleasure. I want people to buy and read The Tyranny of Oil, and we will talk again.
Okay, well, thanks for having me, and I hope folks come out tonight in Eureka. Thanks again.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A day before auto industry executives go before Congress, hat in hand, some support from union leaders. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports they've agreed to concessions.
The Auto Workers Union is going to do away with the controversial jobs bank, which has paid workers on layoff and has become a lightning rod for criticism. President Ron Gettelfinger says they will also take another look at the current contract.
We're going to think outside of the box, and we're going to try to make this thing work the very best that we can to where it will have the least amount of impact on anybody.
The union also allowing the companies to delay payments to a trust fund set up to pay for retiree health care. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Many in Congress, like Pennsylvania Democrat Paul Kanjorski, agree that GM, Ford, and Chrysler should survive, but they want assurances.
The question, what burden of proof they should meet. What reasonable anticipation can we have from their proposals that they will be viable?
And there's the question of where the loan money would come from. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says there aren't enough votes to tap the $700 billion financial rescue fund. The Wall Street Journal says the Treasury Department is considering a plan to slash the rates on new mortgages in an effort to boost home sales. Guy Sakala is publisher of Inside Mortgage Finance.
If you're buying a home, your mortgage payments will be lower than you thought. If you have an existing mortgage, most people in this country have a mortgage that carries a rate of 6% or higher. you're going to be able to lower your payments, and it's going to be very cost effective to refinance if you can at 5.25% or 5%.
The Treasury plan reportedly could bring rates as low as 4.5%. Business is booming at the outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas, but that's bad news for the rest of us.
We saw over 181,000 job cuts announced in the month of November, and that's the largest monthly total we've seen since 2002.
John Challenger says the financial sector accounted for half the job losses. United Airlines continues to downsize. The Chicago Tribune reports about 1,200 workers will be laid off after the holidays. President Bush will be unemployed soon. He and his wife have apparently settled on a new place to live. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has that.
Since the new tenants move into the White House in 48 days, First Lady Laura Bush is close to announcing that she and the president have bought a home in Dallas. And though it's a buyer's market, she made it sound like they're counting their pennies.
I think that's where we'll spend our Christmas money.
As she begins her eighth and final holiday season here, including 25 receptions and dinners, Mrs. Bush said she's looking forward to a more normal life in her own home. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The second day of gains for the stock market. The Dow Industrial's up 172 points to close at 85.91. The NASDAQ gained 42 points today. This is CBS News.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Urgent holiday advice from Guitar Center. You know someone who's worn a deep groove into the couch playing those guitar video games? Well, research proves that they're prime candidates for a real guitar. And this weekend, it's Guitar Center's Guitarathon sale. This is our biggest sale of the year on guitars, gift packs, accessories, and more. All at amazing savings. Our trained gift counselors will help you turn those guitar gamers into real guitar players. Hurry! Guitar Center's Guitarathon sale ends Sunday.
Some people lie about their age. Others, even high-ranking corporate types, lie about their education. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
Fraud investigator Barry Minkow says he's uncovered a number of business leaders who have inflated their academic credentials.
Their bios blow up at a rate of 3 to 4 to 5%.
He says corporations are failing to do proper background checks.
How many layers of lawyers and auditors who get paid very good money miss that? In so many cases.
Minkow blames part of the current economic crisis on corporate executives who may be fudging their qualifications. In some cases, they've claimed master's degrees when they never even graduated from college. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
A fish story, almost by definition, is a lie, but Joe Richardson of Buna, Texas, has an incredible but true fish story. 21 years ago, while fishing on Lake Sam Rayburn, he lost his class ring. The other day, he was contacted by another fisherman who caught an 8-pound bass in the lake. Richardson's ring was in its stomach. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
An official message from Medicare.
Today, I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's tax season. Well, technically April 15th is past, but now is the time to incorporate your business if you want to reap the tax savings and numerous benefits this year. LegalZoom makes incorporating your business easy and more affordable than ever. Over a million people have discovered how easy and affordable it is to use LegalZoom for important legal documents. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. They provide self-help services at your specific direction. For a special discount off most orders, enter POWER at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Watch out.
Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This hour is what we call the free speech zone. Our Fourth Amendment's in shreds, but the First Amendment's still intact. And your right to free speech is honored here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We even pick up the tab for your phone call at 888-5-PETER-B. But don't call at 3 in the morning. You got to call me right now. For our late night listeners in San Francisco, it is just a little after 2 a.m. And you can call, but I'm asleep. I'm sorry to reveal that to you. And I want to encourage our new listeners in Boston to get on the line and share your views with us. I know you probably aren't familiar with the number, so I'm going to repeat it for you in a moment. But first, I want you to know the rules here in the free speech zone of the Peter B. Collins Show. They're simple. You can talk about any subject. You can call with any viewpoint. And you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice, from our great AM affiliate radio stations or the internets. However you happen to listen, you're welcome to participate here. And I'm going to repeat the number a couple of times for our new listeners in Boston. It's 888-5-PETER-B, and that is comprised of 1-888-573-8372. That's 888-573-8372. And I got a stack of DVDs earmarked for our Boston listeners who call into the program this week. It's a documentary called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies about the stolen election in Florida in 2000. It's the Clint Curtis story, and it features our regular contributor, Brad Friedman, who joins us on Fridays here on the program to talk about election integrity and election activism, and there's no shortage of issues to talk about. He'll be with us as usual this Friday in our third hour. Again, my number toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, and you can bring up a topic that I don't mention, but often what happens is people listen to your humble host and say, oh, he criticized the media earlier today. When Paul Waldman was here and talked about Christopher Hitchens going on Hardball, compared that to Ann Coulter's appearances on programs like that. We talked about the corporatization and privatization of our natural resources, water, with Jeff Conant from foodandwaterwatch.org. There's a big conference of the water privateers in San Francisco underway this week. Dar Jamail was with us to talk about the situation in Iraq and his critique, a pretty sharp one, of the Obama foreign policy team. And if you were with us over the last half hour, you just heard Antonia Juhas talk about the oil industry, oil pricing, and a number of interesting issues related to that. So those are some of the things on my mind from our discussions today. And here are a couple more. USA Today has published a poll that shows that Americans are very pleased with Barack Obama. The president-elect gets soaring marks for his handling of the transition and his choice of the candidate, the cabinet. More than three of four Americans, including a majority of Republicans, approve of the job that Obama has done so far. Broad-based support that he will need as he faces tough decisions ahead. 69 to 25% those surveyed approve of his pick of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. 69 to 25. That's a very powerful affirmation of his call. Americans, by more than 3 to 1, say they trust Obama more than Bush. They support his plan for a huge spending package by a percentage of 58 to 33. So these are very interesting marks coming from a national poll. And I want to know if you agree with that. You've heard sharp criticism from me, from Jeremy Scahill, from Dar Jamail most recently, about these cabinet picks, particularly Bob Gates. I have serious problems with that. And the more you hear about General James Jones, the more questions arise. A Chevron board member, a Boeing board member, the Chamber of Commerce, which has been very active, not so much directly involved in energy issues, but the U.S. attorney scandal has revealed to us the role of the American, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in actively promoting the election and appointment of pro-corporate judges. This is one of Karl Rove's secret blueprints that is now coming into view. And when you look at the history, and the New York Times Magazine published a very interesting story about this over the summer, about the role of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in the shifting fortunes, particularly of liberals appointed to state Supreme Courts. They were active in Wisconsin in the primary election this year, where an African-American, the only one serving on the state Supreme Court, was dumped with a scurrilous campaign using Willie Horton tactics. And a lot of untruths fueled by huge campaign cash from the Chamber of Commerce and its allies. And they defeated that justice. And that's a pattern that has been repeated across the country. So I share those concerns, and I want to hear your thoughts. Do you think Obama is doing a good job? And I especially want you to call if you don't agree with me. That makes it much more interesting, and I want to hear contrarian points of view. And do you believe Obama when he says he wants to hear dissenting views in his cabinet, but no dissenters from the war in Iraq are there except for him? I think that's a very important point, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. Also, still, President Bush has been giving exit interviews. And if you see these on television, he looks so defeated. He slouches in his chair. He is even more inarticulate than we've seen him in the past. And here's a sequence that occurred in a Charlie Gibson interview where he says, you know, well, you can't do any do-overs as president. But what about those pesky weapons of mass destruction that we never found in Iraq? Let's listen to this exchange, Charlie Gibson and Bush.
With President and Mrs. Bush conducted at Camp David. As we mentioned last night, the president will do a series of exit interviews, and ours is the first. There are 7 weeks left of his presidency, and we talked with them both about the highs and lows of the last 8 years. As you leave, what do you think the country's feeling is about George W. Bush?
I don't know. I hope they feel like this is a guy that came, didn't sell his soul for politics, had to make some tough decisions, and did so in a principled way.
I think they think he's somebody that kept them safe.
Oh, my God.
For 8 years. And I think, and I hear that all the time.
Do you?
People thanking me, telling me to thank him.
The thing that's important for me is to get home and look in that mirror and say, I did not compromise my principles.
Holy cow, where were they?
And I didn't make tough calls.
Was there a time when you thought, if I do this, I will be compromising my principles? Some decision where you really thought that that was at issue?
Yeah.
What?
A pull out of Iraq. We compromised the principle that when you put kids into harm's way, you go in to win. I mean, I listened to a lot of voices, but ultimately I listened to this voice. I'm not going to let your son die in vain. I believe we can win, and we'll do what it takes to win in Iraq.
You've always said there's no do-overs as president, if you had one.
I don't know. I mean, the biggest regret of all the presidency has to have been the intelligence failure in Iraq. A lot of people put their reputation...
I got to stop right there. It wasn't a failure of intelligence. It was a willful manipulation of intelligence. It was intelligence fixed around a predetermined policy. Those are not my words. Those are from the Downing Street memos, Bush.
Tations on the line and said, you know, the weapons of mass destruction is a reason to remove Saddam Hussein. It wasn't just people in my administration. And, you know, that's not a do-over, I wish... The intelligence had been different, I guess.
If the intelligence had been right, would there have been an Iraq war?
If he had had weapons of mass destruction, would there have been a war?
Absolutely. No, if you had known, he didn't.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's an interesting question. That is a do-over that I can't do.
What a lying sack of Texas crap. That's an interesting question. He says... Because he cannot even confront his own denial, the manipulation of the intelligence. And what we now know from a number of authors, from Ron Suskind and others, that Bush had clear information, starting in September, when a major Iraqi source defected, and as late as January, when Tony Blair was in the Oval Office with him. And they acknowledged that the case was thin and said, well, maybe we need to doctor up some false flag operation. Let's paint a plane with UN colors and shoot it down over Iraq. He knew. He knew. And it's so deeply offensive to hear him spinning and dissembling, even at this late date. Also want to ask you about the Detroit bailout. Tell me what you think. I've been very honest about that. I want to protect the workers. And in all these proposals laid out in front of me here in the New York Times, Ford, that doesn't currently need any money, wants a 10-year, $9 billion line of credit in case things get worse. General Motors does seem to be in the doo-doo. They want up to $18 billion. $12 billion in a term loan and an additional $6 billion revolving line of credit. And Chrysler, they're saying $7 billion by the end of this year. And I'm sorry, I'm not persuaded. I know they're driving their hybrids to Washington, probably the first time any of them been behind the wheel of one of their own lower-priced products. But I'm not persuaded. And if you want to persuade me, I want to hear from you. And finally, when it comes to bailouts, there is one that I can support. It was the request from the National Council of Governors to President-elect Obama yesterday. And he appears to be open to it. Maybe about $500 billion is going to flow from the feds to state governments. And I think that's the worthwhile investment that we can make in cushioning the impact of this nasty recession that could be a depression on those who are least able to absorb it by, you know, rescuing state governments like California that is raising tuition and fees at every public higher education institution and cutting the spending on the poorest among us for social services, health care, and other issues. And I believe that this is the healthiest way that we can restructure our economy, give relief to state governments and the people who live there, avoid draconian cuts and tax increases at a very difficult time. So I am in favor of a bailout for state government. Let me hear your thoughts. Lines are open, and we'll go to the phones after a break here. It's 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show, at 1-888-573-8372. Thanks for joining me. The Free Speech Zone is underway.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years, or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease. At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville.
Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs. Conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Good evening, this is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now on Highway 183 at Blackie Road, there is a 7-Up truck involved in a collision with no injuries. Moving on, there are defective traffic signals on Highway 1 at Rio Road. There is a traffic hazard on Highway 156 at South Castroville Boulevard. CHP is on the scene there. In Santa Cruz, on the northbound 1 just south of Freedom Boulevard, there is a two-vehicle collision. One of the vehicles is in the center divider facing the wrong way. CHP is en route. Moving up to the Hollister-Gilroy area, there is a traffic hazard across all lanes. On the northbound 101 just north of Batelby Y Road. That's traffic on AM 540. Have a safe commute and enjoy your evening. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on live from San Francisco and now live in Boston. If you're listening in New England, I want to hear from you. It's the free speed zone, and I've got a free DVD if you call the program at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. First in the free speech zone. It is Mike in Aptos. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Peter.
How you doing today?
This is on that Boston station.
Well, thank you. And we're delighted to be on in New England and waiting for people to call and participate in the program. I want to encourage them to do that.
There's two things I've never heard. One has to do with Bush, one has to do with the casualties in Iraq that I've never heard talked about. And one, remember how Cheney was the head of his vice presidential search committee?
Uh-huh.
Way back when,
yeah,
you know, and his whole, you know, governor of Texas thing, that was all part of grooming him to run for president. I think Cheney ended up spending enough time with him and realized just how dense and stupid he was and realized he couldn't let him be more than an arm's length away, or else he would blow their whole conspiracy there. And I think that's what happened back then.
Well, take a look at the recent book by Barton Gellman of the Washington Post. It's about Cheney. It's called Angler. And in it, he describes how Cheney moved from being the guy selecting the vice president to being the guy selected as vice president. And in the process, he stepped on a bunch of toes. He outed, for example, some sensitive, confidential, personal information of Frank Keating, the governor of, I believe, Oklahoma, who was a contender, or at least led to believe by Cheney that he was a contender for the job. And so, you're probably not too far off the mark. And when you see these exit interviews and you see how out of touch Bush is on even the most important issues that he faced,
yeah,
you really get the idea that this guy just showed up in a suit and did what he was told
and had no interest or involvement in what he was actually doing.
In Curious George. Yeah, the other thing is, when we talk about these casualties in Iraq, or they had, what, 25, 28 million people before the war?
25 or 26, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 1/12 of our population. So when you have 2.5 million Iraqis displaced,
well,
it's 30 million Americans.
Well, but the math is even bigger than that. It's around 4 million, and roughly half of them are displaced in the country. They've been moved out of their homes due to ethnic cleansing and lack of local security, and the others have fled the country entirely.
Yeah, or 1.25 killed. Multiply that by 12, and that's 15 million. That's more than all the Americans that have ever died in all of our wars combined.
Well, Mike, I want you to listen to me carefully here, because this is not my sentiment, but you get the very clear message from the Rumsfelds who populated the Bush administration that the value of an Iraqi life is somewhere between zero and that of an American life.
They're brown people.
Well, the contempt that they showed, and their determination not to repeat what they saw as a mistake of Vietnam by issuing body counts of dead Iraqi opponents and civilians, only changed when they wanted to try to prove to us that things were getting better. And so in the past year, CENTCOM has been providing some rather fuzzy math figures on fatalities in Iraq, but only when the numbers benefit their case that the surge is working.
Yeah, the other thing I learned from Vietnam is not to let reporters show the caskets being offloaded of American soldiers with flag-draped caskets.
We can hope the Obama administration will reverse that, and I certainly hope it comes soon.
All right. Thanks
for the call. Lines are open if you want to join me here in the free speed zone. We're only halfway through, so call me and let me know what's on your mind. You know the number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Ruff, ruff.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, the holiday season. Poinsettias, holiday bouquets, centerpieces, garland, the scent of pine and spruce. Beautiful. Nothing gets a body and the spirit more than getting flowers, unless it's giving them. Just ask the floral experts at Ferrari Florists and Gifts. Every year, we're as busy as elves helping people send their happiest wishes to friends, family, and colleagues. Everybody loves a gift of flowers. We sure can work some holiday magic to spruce up your home, too.
Tis the season to send flowers and warm hearts for the holidays. Call Ferrari Florist and Gifts at 831-460-7000. Visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com or stop by our shop at 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz. Ferrari Florist and Gifts, experts in the art of expression.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Robin's Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robin's Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robin's Jewelry in Carmel.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
One, two, three,
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speed Zone.
Don't try to fight the feeling, 'cause the thought alone is killing me right now.
Hey, shake it on over to the telephone. Give me a call. It's the Free Speed Zone at 888-5-PETER-B. To talk about on the PBC show today, we ran down for you some new polling from USA Today that shows a vast majority of Americans, including many Republicans, fully approve of Barack Obama's cabinet picks and the transition so far. And if you agree or disagree, I'd like to hear from you. We've presented some critics of his picks on this program, and I hope you understand that as a progressive talk show, and I'm aiming this at our new listeners in Boston, that we are not an organ of the Democratic Party. We are not an extension of the Obama Nation, the Obama campaign, or whatever you want to call it. I fully supported Barack Obama, and I voted for him. I thought he was the best choice of the Democrats running this year. But I will not be a cheerleader or an echo chamber for this president or any other president. You're going to hear honest criticism. I call him as I see him. And I think that's the healthy way for our form of government and for progressive talk radio. There are some other programs you might listen to and say, they're in the tank for Obama. They're in the tank for the Democrats, whatever you want to call it. Well, I don't think you'll label this program that way. At least I hope not. And you are free to offer praise or criticism of any political leader in this country, from Saxby Chambliss right up to Barack Obama. So join the conversation here toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Lindsay's next from Santa Cruz. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
Well, I'd like to offer my criticism. I did not vote for Barack Obama. I voted Green Party, Jim McKinney.
Yeah.
And with his picks and many of his policies in the past, that's precisely why I voted, thinking he would do what he has done and picked pro-war people in his cabinet. And, you know, we really shouldn't be surprised by any of this. As Noam Chomsky said, that to get to be president of the United States, you have to be pro-war. You have to be pro-corporate. And Barack Obama was vetted by Wall Street, and he was given more money than even McCain. And you know, they spent a lot of time with him. They found out who he was and how he was going to vote, and they've been, you know, really rewarded with his the $700 billion bailout, and and how he's been behind this bailout of Citicorp. And
well, and the two what I would call both holdovers, Gates is obviously a Republican appointed by Bush as defense secretary. They're keeping him on. And it's not exactly the same for Timothy Geithner being promoted to Treasury Secretary from the Federal Reserve. But I consider it continuity. And these are two areas where I'd like to see fresh ideas and fresh faces. We're learning more and more about the mess of the Paulson bailout. Finally, some criticism is surfacing from Elizabeth Warren. She's head of the oversight panel that was pressed on the administration by the Democrats in exchange for the approval of the $700 billion. And this new panel has only had a couple of briefings. I don't think it's even fully staffed. But Elizabeth Warren has been appointed as the chair of this panel. And frankly, I've never heard of her before.
Mm-hmm.
But she is there to monitor the bailout. And she's a little cautious in the way she frames it because she's really just starting to perform her function here. But she's quoted in the New York Times. You can't just say credit isn't moving through the system. She said you have to ask why. And she essentially says that they have changed their plan several times, that it appears to be without focus or really strong purpose and direction. And I think those are fair criticisms. And so here we have Obama picking somebody to succeed Paulson, who has been working at Paulson's elbow, who is a Wall Streeter, who came out of Henry Kissinger and Associates in the 80s, if you know that.
He's a protege of Robert Rubin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, these are all the same cast of characters that, as I think it was also Chomsky said, that picking these guys to fix this problem is like picking Osama bin Laden to head the war on terror.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how bad these people are. And, you know, it's just, it's really telling. You know, his first pick was Rahm Emanuel, and he got more money from Wall Street than any other congressman in history.
Well, yeah. I mean, Rahm Emanuel I have problems with on a number of fronts.
Yeah.
In particular, when he was first appointed, we talked with Christine Segelis. She ran for Congress in the old Henry Hyde district in Illinois and almost knocked him off and then was going to run against him in the next election. And the Democrats, with Rahm Emanuel in charge of the DCCC, the Congressional Campaign Committee, inserted Tammy Duckworth, who appears to be poised for a high-level appointment, either to Obama's Senate seat or somewhere in the administration. And she is a veteran of the Iraq War and an amputee, and you know, I certainly have respect for her on that level.
Right.
But they inserted her into this race to defeat Christine Segelis, and then when Duckworth ran in the general, she lost. And, you know, this was replicated across the country, where self-funded or conservative Democrats or veterans were favored by Rahm Emanuel in the strategy to take back control of the House in 2006. Well, they succeeded, but they paid a price.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it play out in the attempts to put restrictions on the war funding, in the attempts to stop the FISA train from trampling our Fourth Amendment rights and essentially legalizing the illegal surveillance of American citizens and the complicity of the phone companies in that. And all those can be traced to the recruiting that Rahm Emanuel did for the House, because the people he brought in, fully half of the freshman class of 2006, went blue dog.
Yeah.
All right. Those are the conservative Democrats who really just vote with the Democrats on economic issues. But when it comes to war and social issues, they're much more conservative and tend to vote along with Republicans. So with that as the makeup of the freshmen of 2006, what I've seen so far, and I want to be candid that I haven't done an in-depth analysis of every freshman member of the House, but the increased majority there is once again populated with conservative Democrats, including three or maybe four pro-life Democrats who've been elected from the South.
Yeah.
And for me, those are deal breakers. Those are situations where I say, The price of winning a House seat is too high if it requires you to relax your policy standards so far that you say, oh, choice, a bedrock principle of the Democratic Party, well, we can give him a pass on that.
Now, didn't Manuel and maybe even Obama campaign for Lieberman against Ned Lamont in Connecticut?
I don't know about Emanuel, but I know Obama did.
Yeah.
And
right.
that was disappointing. I've still got my Ned Lamont bumper sticker over here on the file cabinet.
Yeah. And one last thing. I read something, and you probably read this too, but the total cost of this bailout, you combine World War II, Vietnam, Korea, the entire Nassau budget, the Marshall Plan, the Louisiana Purchase, take all those, combine them, account for inflation, and this bailout total, which is now $8.5
billion,
out to more than that.
Only one correction. It's $8.5 trillion, Lindsay.
Excuse me, Dennis. Trillion, sorry.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what we're looking at is the greatest theft in the history of the world. This is the greatest privatization of wealth in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't realize where this money is going to. A lot of it's going to sovereign funds. I mean, the bailout, the reason we're having this bailout is to bail out investors in sovereign funds, meaning China and a lot of other countries.
Oh, don't forget Saudi Arabia, Kuwait.
Saudi Arabia, exactly.
Yeah.
And we're making those investors whole. And one of the reasons I think we're making them whole is so the United States can continue to borrow money, borrow money so that they can bail out Wall Street.
Well, and I want to see some private money in there. I'm sorry. They're placing all the risk of these blunders on the American taxpayer.
Absolutely.
And it's just immoral. It's flatly immoral. There's no other way to dress it up.
Exactly. I mean, you go back to what Eisenhower was saying. I mean, this is a theft from all of us. It's a theft from medical care, from education, everything. And it's handed to people who need it the least.
Yeah. Lindsay, thank you very much. You're a very thoughtful guy. I appreciate your call today. Now, I want to hear from you. What do you think about what Lindsay said? If you're an Obama supporter and you think this criticism is misplaced, if you think I'm off base and should just sit back and join the three-fourths of the American public polled saying that, Obama's doing a great job and this is a great team, I want to hear from you. Go ahead, push back, argue with me, tell me I'm wrong. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Lines are open for you, so it'll be a short wait on hold. Dial in right now, and we can talk with you next. I want to ask for some help on a totally unrelated matter. I've been using the Internet for a long, long time. And despite my advancing years, I think, I follow these trends pretty well. But I have to say that some of these social networking sites and new sites that have popped up don't do anything for me. So I got two examples here, Twitter and Reunion.com. Now, I received just moments ago a threatening email from Reunion.com. It reads, last chance to accept Holly Grimaldi's invitation. Holly Grimaldi sent me an invitation on November 19th to connect on Reunion.com. There's only one problem. I don't know Holly. And I don't want to connect with her on Reunion.com because, well, I never connected with her before. And maybe she's promising to admire my junk or provide me with pharmaceuticals to enhance the use of my junk. But I don't really know what to do with this. So it's asking me the question, do you know Holly? And if I say yes, I guess I'm going to connect with Holly. If I say no, well, I'm not really sure what's going to happen. So if you've used Reunion.com and you think it's cool and you like it and maybe Holly Grimaldi, call me and tell me about it, okay? The other one is Twitter. Now, I've never Twittered before, and during the break on the half hour, I logged in, created a username and not a profile, but I joined, I guess. And I logged into Twitter here, and I am puzzled. Because what I heard was that people in Mumbai were using Twitter to send bulletins, news bulletins from average people. And that it helped a lot of folks who had loved ones or concerns about the situation to keep tabs on it. That in some cases there was better information at Twitter than you could get from CNN or other major news outlets. So it turns out that I'm just looking at this. Twitter says that it's all based on the question, what are you doing? Well, I opened up to a page that's got a bunch of posts from November 3rd, Campbell Brown and RNC husband Dan Senor equals CNN reject Obama ad. John McCain's ads are perverted lies. Where's Vicky Eisman? She's on a corporate jet somewhere. All right, the question is up here, what am I doing? I'm talking, we'll drop the G, on the radio, all right? Now, I have no idea where this is going to go or who's going to read it or what it means to them, but I have just Twittered. Help! I need tech support. Joseph in Arcata, welcome to the program today.
Hey, Peter B. Oh, my goodness. I was just cracking up there listening to you.
Yeah.
I think I missed the first half of that. I came in on you talking about your junk.
Well, I'm looking for Holly Grimaldi because apparently she wants to connect with me. And maybe I did sleep with her, but I just... Holly, I'm sorry.
I haven't seen her, but if I see her, I'll let her know you're looking.
All right. And if you see Kay, tell her to get in touch with me, too.
Right. Yeah, I'll do that. Oh, my. Well, you were saying earlier you needed someone to push back a little bit or wanted anybody who was interested in pushing back a little bit about this perspective on Barack Obama and the way he's voted. And
yeah, tell me what you think.
Well, I think that this is what we're up against, you know, those of us that consider ourselves progressive and want to see something more in that direction happen in our world, more humanitarian approach toward politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's, you know, he's in the machine, and he's kind of, in my opinion, put out his message. He said, hey, I'm here to, you know, to listen to you, to work with you, and see what we can do. But he still has to go into the mucky stuff, and he's still going to have to make friends in order to get through. So I think the key is that we have to be extra loud. We have to really make our move politically as well now.
All right, Joseph, let me drill in on one issue here, okay? Mm-hmm. Would you agree with the flat statement that you can't negotiate with a terrorist? Just in general.
No, I wouldn't say that.
All right, well, just humor me, okay?
Okay.
I believe that the radical Republicans are like terrorists, and that you cannot really negotiate with them because they're willing to fight and die for ridiculous positions. Here in California, the state is totally strapped. And we have these Republicans loyal to Grover Norquist who won't vote for any tax increase of any kind to try to close an $18 billion gap. And there's an even bigger one looming for next year. All right? And so my fear is that Obama is trying to make peace with people who will not return the love.
Right.
And that he's going to have what my high school counselor called the rude awakening when he sees that the positives and the conciliatory gestures that he's put out there will be returned by a poke in the eye and a jab in the back. And I hope to be wrong about this, but I'm very concerned about his accommodation of Republicans, including Robert Gates. And I'm very concerned about this concept of the cabinet of rivals. Because, again, he talks about the concept of wanting dissent, but he didn't hire any people who dissented from the war in Iraq, which was the cornerstone of his campaign.
I would have really just been happy if I could have seen Dennis Kucinich on there somewhere.
He gave Bill Richardson a job. I mean, he's mollified a lot of his former Democratic primary opponents. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see just, you know, Kucinich consulted on health care, on how to get out of Iraq, on how to end our torture policies.
No, I think that's one point that I can't talk you down on. He's Rachel Maddow's term.
It is a good one.
It's a great one. Yeah. That's been the most upsetting part to me, how he doesn't seem... I am worried that he's gonna do to the progressive movement what the Republicans did to the evangelical movement, which is just use us to get to the top.
All right, Joseph, thank you for your call. I'm late for a break, but I really appreciate you checking in the free speech zone today. And there's room for another caller or two. Don't hold back. Let me know what you think at 888-5 Peter B, the Peter B Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. On County Road G12 at Castroville Boulevard, there is a large dog in the road, so look out for him. There are defective traffic signals on Highway 1 at Rio Road, so use caution there. In Santa Cruz, on the northbound one just south of Freedom Boulevard, we have a two-vehicle collision with no injuries, but one vehicle is facing the wrong way in the center divider. A CHP unit is on the scene there. In the Hollister-Gilroy area, we are still monitoring the collision on the southbound 101 just south of Metcalf Avenue. Traffic is extremely slow at the moment. Also in the Hollister-Gilroy area, there are two pedestrians in the center divider on the northbound 101 just north of Route 25. A CHP unit is on the scene there. Have a great evening, everyone. That's your traffic on AM 540. We now return to the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Here's Robert Palmer. This one's for Holly. She sends me threatening emails through reunion.com. I did not have relations with that Holly Grimaldi. Six minutes in front of the hour. We wrap up the free speed zone today with Robert in Daly City here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Hi, Robert.
At least not according to Black's Law Dictionary and Medical Dictionary, huh?
Okay.
I was directed to a video by John Lear and Russ Wittenberg, both professional jet pilots, regarding flight characteristics of airliners at low altitude.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that happened on 9/11 should have been cross-checked for fact and in a real-world type situation. Even the engine parts they allegedly found in the streets of New York do not match the type of engines that American Airlines and United Airlines were flying that day.
And the debris at the Pentagon, doesn't fit any of the description either.
No, well, what's his name? David Ray Griffin came out. I heard him say this after 4 years of being in this 9/11 truth movement. There isn't any of the 9/11 story that's true. And when you think about it, everything that you believe that you think you know about it is true. And imagine that none of it's true.
Well, and in simple terms, the explanations we've been given don't square with fundamental physics. For example, the way the Twin Towers in Building 7 came down. I'm sorry. Steel does not melt at the low temperature produced by the flame ball that we saw of the jet fuel on the upper floors of the building. And to imagine that the fires that were up at, say, the 90th floor could cause steel to melt on the 10th floor is simply, you know, it's mind-boggling. It's not possible. And
really
yet that's what they want us to believe.
Peter, is that they're using this 9/11 thing to do this whole great big global conflagration about the war on terror. And as far as we know, the people they claim did it aren't even the ones that did do it. So what is going on with our societal changes based on a hoax, a lie?
Well, I want to see a new investigation. And I'm not sure that the Obama administration will allow it. But
don't hold your breath on that. We're going to have to get in front of a court with evidence and witnesses and then produce it. What we need to do is find some relatives that have had people die, actual proof they got their bodies back, they know a crime was committed, somebody died, they buried the person. That's a crime, okay? And take that in front of a judge with evidence and a witness in front of a judge.
Mm-hmm.
That they can work with.
All right, Robert, thank you for the call. And you recommend a website here, patriotsquestion911.com, and people can take a look at that and evaluate it for themselves. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Peter B. Collins Show. A quick story for you. Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, was named as Commerce Secretary in the incoming administration. I'm happy for him. I wanted to see a higher post. He would have been a great Secretary of State. In 2006, he came to San Francisco and had lunch with me and about 10 other people, testing the waters for a presidential run. And we had a nice conversation, and I told him that his position on the war was weak and he needed to fix that. He did, and I'm not taking total credit for that, but it was an interesting exchange. He then, I told him I was going to be in Santa Fe a few weeks later, and he invited me to come over to his office. So I did. We're having a family reunion, so I brought my mom and 10 of my brothers, nieces, and nephews. And he was amazing. He entertained us. They told us we had 10 minutes, and he entertained us for almost an hour. A fascinating man, and I think he's going to make his mark in the Obama cabinet. Thought I'd leave you with a positive today. Talk to you tomorrow.
Betrayals to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a rare show of labor management unity in Detroit. The United Auto Workers Union is offering contract concessions to help the car companies win government loans and save jobs. The UAW will let GM, Ford, and Chrysler delay payments into a new multi-billion dollar health fund and will suspend the program that gives laid-off workers 85% of their pay. But CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds reports the companies will have to cope with so-called legacy costs.
While take-home pay at U.S. automakers now averages $28 an hour, close to what Toyota, Honda, and Hyundai pay their workers, it's the Detroit-negotiated health and pension benefits that have changed the equation. Factor them in, and labor costs are $73 an hour for Detroit, but only $44 for non-Detroit producers.
Hey, buddy.
Still, talk of sacrifice lands heavily on workers like Brian Yarbrough, who bristles at the idea that his labor isn't worth his wages.
Especially, you know, these congressmen that, you know, they say you can go out and get another job, you know, doing the same type of work and making half as much money. Well, I welcome them to come in and try doing some of that work.
He's a third-generation GM employee. After driving to Washington in hybrid vehicles, executives of the Big Three make their case to Congress tomorrow. White House spokeswoman Dana Perino is noncommittal.
We don't want anybody to be negatively affected by a bankruptcy, but sometimes companies do fail.
If the industry does get loans, the Bush administration says the money should come from a $25 billion Energy Department fund for fuel-efficient vehicles. Many Democrats in Congress want to tap the $700 billion financial rescue package, but Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid concedes they don't have the votes. The Treasury Department reportedly is considering a plan to stimulate the housing market by driving mortgage rates down. Greg McBride is senior financial analyst at Bankrate.com.
Much like the Federal Reserve announcement a week ago that drove mortgage rates down very sharply, any plan by the Treasury that would also drive mortgage rates down would help anybody who's buying a home or planning to do so, anyone trying to sell a home.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the plan calls for the Treasury to buy Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac securities with the aim of bringing rates as low as 4.5%. Before Barack Obama decided on Hillary Clinton for Secretary of State, Bill Richardson was a leading contender. The New Mexico governor is a former congressman, former energy secretary, former UN ambassador, and international